Grandma, she got sodomized by a pisser possum, staggering home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as pisser possums, but when your bunghole's stretched out, you'll believe. She been drinking too much eggnog, and we begged her not to go. But she forgot her medication, and she staggered out the door into the snow. When we found her Christmas morning at the scene of the attack, she had paw prints on her forehead and incriminating claws marks on her back. Grandma, she got sodomized by a pisser possum, staggering home drunk for our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as pisser possums, but when your bunghole's stretched out, you'll believe. Now we're all so proud of Grandpa, he's been taking this so well. See him in there watching football, drinking beers and humping horse with Cousin Mel. It's not Christmas without Grandma, all the family dressed in black. And we just can't but wonder, should we open up her gifts and send them back?
Send them back!
Grandma, she got sodomized by a pisser possum, staggering home drunk for our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as pisser possums, but when your bunghole's stretched out, you'll believe. Now the noose is on the table, and the pudding made of pig, and the blue and silver candle that would just have mirrored the hair on Grandma's wig. I warned all my friends and neighbors, better watch out for yourselves. They should never give no license to a man who's playing CI and with tranny elves. Grandma, she got sodomized by a pisser possum, staggering home drunk for our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as pisser possums, but when your bunghole's stressed out, you'll believe. Sing it, Wiggins. Grandma, she got sodomized by a pisser possum, staggering home from our house Christmas Eve. You can say there's no such thing as pisser possums, but when your bunghole's stretched out, you'll believe. Merry Xmas! Nimrod's birthday. Greetings, ogling, wigger, and mamzer ass clowns across the fruited, nutted Zog Plain. In the open air, coast-to-coast nut house, we call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But also, the show is, well, it's mainly aimed at the lost and found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear the call. Greetings. Now, of course, by now you can have mamzer-ass clowns and wigger-ass clowns and Jew-ass clowns calling in, and they control. And I think it's all to the good. There are a few people who got annoyed as heck here because I went ahead and canceled Sunday night's show in order to watch Wigger Liver or Survivor or whatever you call it. Now, folks, there's a lot of people who make fun of going ahead and watching that, you know, including Pastor John Britton. But like I explained to him, I sort of think that the Wigger Waste can go ahead and survive another night while I go ahead and do some postgraduate, you know, study in Wigger and Mamzerology. And folks, I like watching Survivor because essentially you end up having a whole bunch of Anglo-Mestizos and Wiggers and the rest here, and this coach fellow, or Benjamin Wade, was the biggest ass clown of the lot, talking about honor and all this sort of thing, but he always found a rationale to go ahead and do whatever the hell it took for him to try to make $1 million. And, well, he made number two, you know, but blue-eyed sort of little fat girl, what the heck was her name? Sophia Clark, with an E on it. She might be a Kykus or something like that. She had a rather large nose, and from what I gather, she was somewhat of a coal hauler. She just liked this nigger named Albert, who worked for as a dating advisor, sort of like old Will Smith here. And since there was not a single vote for the nigger, so I guess that was all to the good. And this, this bitch went ahead and won. And they had a few, they had a country music, starlet here named Whitney. And she was all huffy here, and she was, essentially, she found her some dick at Survivor, and everything went along, and essentially, it's a game about lying, cheating, being a weasel, being a lying weasel, in order to go ahead and get $1 million, okay? Okay, guest number four, I'm quite sure you would know about the alcohol tolerance of a 12-year-old Cherokee squaw. I mean, I think the oldest of the pisser possums is about that old here and about the same racial, degree here. I mean, guest number four seems like it's old Visser. And it looks like we got a, Romaniac 007. It looks like we got the Nimbusters. They have arrived. But anyway, folks, it's all together a game which goes ahead and illustrates about wiggers and wiggerdom. Essentially, there's not a single one of them that goes ahead and values his word or his honor at $1 million. In fact, most of them don't value anything here, probably at even $10,000. There's no saying here about this sailor who went ahead and talked to a sweet young thing here and said, well, hey, would you sleep with me here if I gave you $10,000? And she says, well, yeah. So he says, well, how about $5,000? Would you sleep with me then? I don't have $10,000. Would you sleep with me for $5,000? She said, well, yeah. How about $1,000? Well, yeah. And she goes on and on down till it gets down to about $10, and then she says, no, I won't sleep with you for $10. What kind of woman do you think I am? And the sailor, this hoary sailor, says, well, I've already figured out exactly what kind of woman you are. We're just sort of haggling about the price now. That's what wiggers are all about here. They talk about honor, and, the Anglo-Mestizos, they got the same thing, but, they didn't have to go ahead and develop, wigger notions or anything like that. They were born lying mamzers, and so were Jew boys and the rest here. And so, folks, I do like watching the end of Survivor. Essentially, during this season, I've been trolling Dan Johns, a Jew boy. And, folks, I went ahead and I managed to somehow find Eli James's, the title is that's December 19th, and Eli James is still a Jew. And, folks, I was able to go ahead and see this, this link that he has on his webpage that he's gone ahead and tried to hide. And it dates about 2005, and it's called the story that I'm about, that I'm a Jew is, is not exactly true or something like that here. And it covers when he went ahead and saved, Dan Johns from getting his ass whipped by August Christ, Bradley Jenkins, who used to be Mo Gullet's good cokehead buddy, and Charles Juba, because they thought Dan Johns was a Jew boy from Jersey. And, more to the point, they thought they could go ahead and beat the shit out of this, pussified Jew boy from Jersey. And they probably would have. But, essentially, Eli James went ahead and, he showed fight here. And so what happens is that Augie and Charlie and Bradley didn't want to go ahead and risk getting their ass whooped here. I mean, it's one thing to go ahead and whip the shit out of a Jew boy if he's a pussy here, but, that's one thing is that Eli James isn't altogether a pussy. He's a lying kike, but he's not altogether a pussy. So anyway, why are you targeted here? Lindstedt doesn't do a show when American Idol's on. I think American Idol's is on Monday night. what happens, Roxy watches, I don't know about American Idol, Roxy watches dancing with the tards or, whatever. And, she likes watching some of the stupid crap. Usually what I'm doing, oh, by the way, they got a Jew boy, they got, Piers Morgan here on, that, and they got the old Jew boy, Henry the Kite Kissinger. And he's looking like a total Jew. Anyway, so what is the relationship between Christian identity and Scientology? The answer is, there isn't. And by the way, I'm not after you, Romaniac. If you're worried about it, it's not like Brian Reel is pursuing you. But in any case, it's always good, just as if you don't know who you're dealing with, it's always good to sit down and keep your mouth shut. Okay? Especially when Brian Reel is after you, okay? So, anyway, where am I out here? Anyway, the reason you end up having Jews running wild, all the freaking time is because, it's because of Wiggers. And by the way, Negro serial killer, no spamming the chat, okay? Really, I don't want you spamming the chat because I don't want you fucking it up for everybody else, okay? All right? Very carefully. I have a better notion here. Why don't you behave yourself, okay? So, if you go ahead, I got old Dick Reltney. I think he's ready to go ahead and block your ass. Okay, he was a plant, a narc. Well, here. Okay, I follow no rule of any man. Well, that's okay. I don't really mind. But, essentially, I'm quite sure that essentially if old Negro serial killer was running around, probably in about the same area, and here I approach with a palate flat, his attention would go ahead and improve markedly. And I probably wouldn't even have to go ahead and piss on the rusty screw or the rusty nail inside it here, okay? So, don't spam the freaking chat room, because essentially it just goes ahead and shows you're an evil tard. And then what I have to do is I got to go ahead and block you. I know how to go ahead and pull a Dan Johns or a Brian Reel. I don't like doing it, okay? Anyway, so I'm waiting for Russ to go ahead and call in. And Russ, if you're in the guest room, that's fine. If you're not, I'm hoping you'll go ahead and call in. It's a little bit about 10 or 12 after the hour. But folks, like I usually want to go ahead and talk about is that what we have is we have a Wigger problem. And so, I went ahead, just took a break. There was nothing happening on really much in the bowel movement. Alex Linder is sleazing he's sleazing the same as he always has sleazed against Christianity. And folks, I don't have much use for Churchianity or Judeo-Wiggerdom. Essentially, nothing much happened on sperm fart. Nothing much happening anywhere. Edgar Steele is still in jail. Hadding, is still an ass clown. And essentially, nothing has really changed here. Essentially, people are just going ahead and just going through the motions, waiting for the, holiday season to be over. And then maybe they'll go ahead and stir or do some other stuff here in a little while. The bowel movement is usually you end up having a whole bunch of shit occurring all at once, and then most of the time it's just ass clownism as usual. That's all it is. Okay? Why does Hadding have such a grudge against Steele? The answer is, as far as I can tell, is that Steele went ahead and fought with Hadding's good buddy, Kevin Alfred Strom. Called him a child molester, an admitted child molester. Went ahead and fought with Joe Fields. And essentially, you end up having these tards go ahead. You have Wigger Squill essentially shitting on Edgar Steele as well. but going ahead and making a big deal about how Covington and Steele had a big fight in 2003-2004. And essentially, this bowel movement of ours is just mainly Zogbots and retards and Whiggers and the rest of them here. So, folks, I didn't have a problem with going ahead and dealing with them. Anyway, I'm just sort of waiting for Rutherford to go ahead and call in. So, let me see how many I got in here. Oh, I got about 12 minutes. So, folks, why do we have the problem we have? And the reason we have the problem we have is because we have a Whigger problem. Now, in episode number 100, I went ahead and talked about Sodom and Gomorrah, and Russell was going ahead and asking, were the Sodomites Canaanites? And the answer is no, they weren't. Pastor John Britton talked with me, and he was reading from Jewpedia, or Wicked Jewpedia. And essentially what they were is that they were under this Elamite king. Now, Elam was the son of Shem. So was Asher, who became supposedly the father of the Syrians. And what Nimrod did is that he made these Elamites, the reason they looked like niggers, he made them go ahead and breed in with these Dravidians. And their father, Shem, didn't much care for it. Essentially, Nimrod didn't go ahead and listen when Babylon was turned to Babylon because they couldn't confound their tongues. He continued to go ahead and do evil by using the garments of power that, Yahweh gave Adam and Eve of the skin of all the major beasts of the field. Now, what these garments of power would do is that not only would the lions and tigers and bears go ahead and obey Nimrod because he got it because, well, he got it from his nigger daddy Cush, but who turned got it from Ham, who was a thief. Why? Not only would the lions, tigers, and bears listen, so would what was called the blackheads, these not quite white people, not quite white Adamites, and they go ahead and obey. So essentially, Shem got tired of that shit, and he went ahead and hacked old Nimrod into about 12 or 13 pieces. And you hear about that in the Babylonian legends, and you hear about it in the Egyptian lessons about how Ra and Isis went ahead and she went ahead and took, I'm not quite sure if it was Horus, I think it was Osiris. And either a jackal or a crab went ahead and ate his most important part, his penis. So Osiris went ahead, or Isis went ahead and whittled him a new one. And, I sort of go ahead and make fun of Old Gender Bender that way. So anyway, say that a dingo ran off with its pickle. So anyway, okay. Let me see. Okay, well, guest number 16, you sound a good deal like Willie Martin here. But anyway, that is how you ended up, having this sort of thing. And folks, you had Whiggers and Mamzers and Tards and the rest of them acting up just like in the old days. What? About, 3142, about 3,000, 5,000 years ago, Whiggers were acting the same way. They were letting Jews come in, they were letting Mamzers come in, they were creating Mamzers. And, just like when Abraham lived, sometime after the flood. More like, 4,500 or so years ago. He was essentially being called out, unlike Noah, he was being called out to the land of Canaan. Living among Canaanites, not being part of it. And he went ahead and his stupid Whigger nephew, Lot, went ahead and chose easy living. He chose the easy life. And as a result, Lot didn't have the character to go ahead and resist living among the Whiggers. And as a result, one of the sins of Sodom was not only homosexuality, rape homosexuality, thus giving the name of sodomy to it, but it was also self-righteousness. demanding, how dare you go ahead and judge us for doing evil? Now later on it says that, you know, Jesus Christ said the men of Sodom would go ahead and judge latter-day Quakers living in this end age. So I guess, essentially, I sort of think that essentially Quakers will be judging Quakers. But, any case, these cities of the plain went ahead and rebelled. Okay, let's see. Hello.
Hey, Martin, how are you?
Oh, well enough. I was talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Pastor John Britton was reading to me about Wikipedia, and from what I gather, it's quite true that the men of Sodom were Uyghurs. They weren't Canaanites. They were actually under the Elamite sway. The Elamites were, you know, descended from Shem, as were the Assyrians. And later on, Assyria went ahead and destroyed its brother, Elam, it was around 600 or so, 600 some BC, and they removed the buffer. But the thing about Elam is that Nimrod made these Elamites marry into these niggers known as the Dravidians from India. And as a result, that's why a lot of them look like niggers. Okay? And these five cities of the plain went ahead and rebelled against the king of Elam, and he outnumbered them, and he took them captive. And then Abraham, in order to rescue Lot, went ahead and mounted a commando operation, and essentially beat the crap out of the Elamites, or at least made them go ahead and disgorge their hostages and most of their spoils. So essentially, these Sodomites and these Gomorrahites and these Zoarites and the other two cities of the plain that you don't hear much about, they were white people. They weren't Canaanites because, well, stood to reason. There was no talk about, Yahweh has never, what Yahweh has done is several times in the case of Sodom, Gomorrah, and the other three cities of the plain, and threatened in the case of Nineveh. When he's gone ahead and threatened to go ahead and wipe these people out with fire, it's always been white men that he's threatened here. Yahweh does not threaten to wipe out the Canaanites with fire, on this earth. His policy is that the Israelites are to exterminate the Canaanites, not him. Correct?
Well, from what I know in Obadiah, it says that Joseph will be the flame, if I remember right.
Well, yes, Obadiah 1:18. I'm not talking about the gender bender. I'm talking about, but that is in the future. That hasn't happened yet.
That's true.
And like Joel chapter 2, all this stuff is prophecy, but essentially it's Joseph that's the flame. Yahweh isn't going ahead and raining down fire and brimstone like he did at Sodom and Gomorrah. He's not going ahead and threatening it like he did, or he thought of doing it, at Nineveh, is he? He's not going ahead and doing it like he did against Korah.
Or if he gets rolling down the road, you can't tell what he might do, but at any rate.
Well, generally I think you can tell what he's going to do because he sort of tells you what he's going to do. Okay? But he's never gone ahead and destroyed the non-whites. He's never gone ahead and destroyed the Canaanites with fire. He's relied upon the Israelites to go ahead and destroy the Canaanites, and when they didn't, he got quite annoyed at them. And he cursed them, he cursed them and saying that they will rule over you, and you will be brought very low, and the non-whites will be brought very high over you. So, essentially, the point of the matter is that I knew right offhand, and I pretty well talked about in the latter half of episode 100 about the men of Sodom, about how they also, in addition to being a bunch of bugger boys, forcible bugger boys, they also were rather self-righteous. They went ahead and went after Lot, and so said they would go harder for him than the angels that they wanted to, butt rape, because he dared to go ahead and live among them and judge them. But later on it says in the Bible that Jesus says that the men of Sodom will go ahead and judge Uyghurs later here. But anyway, enough about the past here. Yesterday I was watching Survivor or Uyghur Liver, and essentially I'm watching Uyghurs and Mamzers and niggers and Jews run around and lie and cheat and steal for $1 million and or even $10,000 or for a few extra dollars or anything like that. And told the story about the sailor who went ahead and asked this woman to sleep with him for $10,000. She said yes. So he went down to about where it was $10, and she said, "Well, what do you think I am?" And the sailor said, "Well, we already
understand.
Yeah, we already know what you are. All we're doing is haggling about the price here."
Price.
And that's what Uyghurs are. Uyghurs are like. But anyway, Russ, pretty well the title of this show is it's December 19th and Eli James is still a Jew. One of the people has asked me to go ahead and come up with all the stuff I have on about Commander McBragg. And from what I gather, it's, pretty well confirmed by the fact that Harold Covington said that, to go ahead, he's the flag maker for the Northwest Republic. And his name, for the checks to go ahead and be given, is Steve Schultz. And he lives, I think, in Port Townsend, Washington, or something like that here. So, essentially, it's confirmed that, his real name. And some of the Covington people want me to go ahead and do an expose on Steve Schultz or Commander McFag or what have you here. But, any case... I do believe Eli James is a Jew. From my gather, you don't, but you do know that he's not part of the family. He's not an Israelite.
It doesn't appear to me to be that way, to be honest about it.
Okay. Anyway, so I went ahead and explained why I watched the Talmud Vision, and like I explained why I went ahead and took a break Sunday. Nothing much going on in the bowel movement. And from what I gather, the Uyghurs are still alive. I mean, they didn't go to pot here just because I went ahead and delayed it by a day here. Anyway, you want to go ahead and talk about, what did you want to talk about, Russ? Anyway, you went ahead and brought up this thing about Mitt Romney and how he's never produced anything.
Romney, yeah. Martin, look, I went to law school, and I'm the first one to admit it's corrupt. The whole legal business that I got out of it, I couldn't stand it. The court's corrupt.
No, the law school's corrupt. I mean, essentially what you're doing is you're giving certain people a monopoly license to steal, a advantage here when supposedly they're not supposed to have an advantage.
It's
you know what I mean?
In any event,
yeah.
The MBAs are the worst ones in the world. They're motivated solely by greed. They can't even make an argument that they're here to help society or improve business or anything else. When a person becomes an MBA, they're there to help themselves. It's just like the Masons.
Mm-hmm.
And Romney is no damn good.
With Bain Capital, he's getting, $13 million, quote, retirement?
Something like that. But
and then
these guys go in, they take over a business, they fire thousands of people, they go to the whole companies with a phenomenal amount of debt, and they don't care who loses their business, they don't care what corporation goes.
They loot corporations. They are directly responsible for making Zogland into a post-industrial country.
Exactly.
And then, the Republicans are the worst about it. I mean, I used to go ahead and say, they go ahead and whine, why in the world are we going ahead and losing? Why are we going ahead and losing these jobs? Answer, well, thank you, Mr. Republican. You refuse to go ahead and put a constitutional tariff to where, folks, people don't need to go ahead and buy.
It was goddamn Newt Gingrich who was in the House.
Newt Gingrich. All these Republicans believe.
Bill Clinton signed. Bill Clinton signed off on NAFTA.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't the Democrat Congress which went ahead and passed it. It was the Republican Congress which passed it.
But the Democrats too. Clinton signed off on that.
Yeah, he did. He did because
everything else. None of them are any damn good.
None of them are any damn good. But essentially, I'm going ahead and here in this area, you had old Mel Hancock, and what he did was Mr. Conservative, and he went ahead and signed off on NAFTA. And 6 or 7 months later, the Zenith Television Corporation or whatever, Zenith America, went ahead and shipped out 700 high-paying manufacturing jobs to Mexico.
I know, Mark.
They did that. And then what happens is 4 months later...
Wait a second. My wife, we're just going to push.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take care of it. I'll go ahead and rant and rave a little bit.
Well, this one guy says MBAs are economic criminals. She's absolutely correct.
No, they are economic criminals. I mean, essentially, all they do... I mean,
it's always a stealing.
Well, a business degree, and I got a business degree. A business degree is pretty well just altogether a waste of time and money.
Absolutely.
Folks, if you really want to go ahead and study accounting, you just need to take a course. If you want to go ahead and understand the law of 72, all you need to do is buy a $30 calculator. I mean, essentially, all these business degrees are just simply make work.
I agree, Mark.
They're just make work. The actual people who run a company will tell their children how to go ahead and, you know, in many cases, don't even bother getting a business degree unless they have plenty of money. But it's altogether a waste of money. But getting to Romney, what he did with Bain Capital is that he destroyed these corporations here. What happened? They had a little bit of capital.
They used to call it
corporate rating.
There's a name for it. They used to something investment, and it was actually disinvestment.
Well, exactly what it is. You go ahead, you buy it. You go ahead, you grab all the money, the cash money right on top, and then you go ahead and tear it to pieces. You go ahead and join it together, and you go ahead and lay off thousands of workers here. And
that's right.
Essentially, all it is just legalized thievery. And then here,
They used to have a phrase for it, something investment. Banking investment, they call it. Something.
Investment banking or whatever here, that is what they call it.
Banking.
Yeah.
But it was actually a disinvestment, because that one was all said and done. Those guys got money for doing nothing. That article from the New York Times was a good article, man. I mean, they have it in for Romney. I can see why, but he is corrupt as all hell.
Well, they're all corrupt here. I mean, shoot, the old 999, Herman Cain, was just a nigger, just a token nigger, who'd go ahead and use his money to go ahead and buy Anglo Macizo and Wigger Pussy. I mean, but then again, he was far more of a gentleman than Clinton was. I mean, from what I gather, he would accept no for an answer. And then he'd go ahead and pay for the pussy that he got here. All of them are, you know, and I include Ron Paul. I was listening, you know, Ron Paul, one of the debates. It's un-American to build a wall and machine gun, you know, to go ahead. What are you going to do, machine gun these, you know, these people coming into our border? And, I would say, why, yes. Yes, that would discourage them quite a bit.
That would stop it.
That would stop it, yeah.
Balls to say that, though.
But, in any case, all of them, I mean, here's Romney. And essentially what they're trying to do is he's trying to say, well, Newt is a bigger whore than Romney. And the answer of it is that they're all just whores. So, I mean, the Republican Party in Missouri.
Vancouver Wah Tycombe. Who is this person then?
I have no idea.
Okay, just curious who these guys
are. Well, he's just a tard, and essentially I allow the tards to come onto the show, and, I'm keeping an eye on Negro Serial Killer because he thinks he has a, quote, right to spam and ruin it for everyone else here, and I'm just pretty well just keeping an eye, keeping a weather eye out on him here. But in any case, I allow tards to go ahead and, you know, for all practical purposes, some guy claiming a Christian identist is threatening him. Well, folks, we don't know who the hell you are. Second of all, I have no idea what Christian identist is threatening you. I have no idea why he would threaten you. Essentially, you have tards being tards here. But, essentially, you wanted to go ahead and you sent about how all these characters, are just simply, thieves here. You know, old Mitt Romney said that corporations are people, too. Did you remember him saying that before the Iowa straw poll? Huh?
A corporation is a person. A person is a citizen. In the legal business, corporations are persons like associations and trusts and estates. They're all called, legally, they're called persons. And they're like, you or I are citizens. We're not persons. he knows that stuff. He knows. He's a damn lawyer.
He knows this sort of thing, to which I would go ahead and respond, well, I mean, you know, essentially, then let this corporation fight this war. Let this corporation, you know, pull the nigger off here who I hope would go ahead and be sodomizing, you know, sodomizing Mrs. Romney here. I mean, all these characters, essentially, and that's why I've seen with Whiggers, they're all so self-righteous. They go ahead, they make big pretenses here, but you don't see them actually living, you know, cheat the job by niggers. They want other white people, poor white people, to have to do that so they can feel good about themselves. You know what I mean?
Whatever they do.
Any case.
Well, so screwed up it's hard to take, I'll tell you right now.
Well, it's getting more and more screwed up. It's getting more and more, you know, it's getting more and more idiotic. And, folks, it doesn't really matter as far as I'm concerned.
This guy, necro serial killer, needs to be going insane asylum. He's real. Whoever this person is sick.
Well, he's a nimbuster. You know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, what difference does it make here? I mean, as long as he doesn't spam the chat room, I don't really care.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, no interracial or homosexual pornography. That'll get you blocked too. Okay. But, it's a heck of a deal. You have to go ahead and say that here. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. I don't know. I think, were you on Saturday night over at Eli James's, and did you notice how very few people he had, on there?
I did notice that. I don't know exactly why, but I just noticed.
He had three guests, and two of those guests were me. And essentially, he had old Commandor McFag, of course, and essentially, Commandor McFag was, you know, able to go ahead and detect, you know, a number of people. But I was going ahead. I had about three or four different little, aliases here, and I was spamming them here. I was halfway listening to old Finkelschini, and Finkelschini was going on with his stuff here. So essentially. I don't know. He just seems to have gone ahead and lost quite a bit of, he seemed to have lost the Talkshoe War. And then Sunday, I went ahead and commented as one of the guests. I said, well, now you have a whole bunch of people listening to it. What's the deal, Eli? Do you think you have a bunch of people who essentially know that Finkelschini is vindictive, and what they've done is they've created a different handle to go ahead and be on your show? And Eli went ahead and admitted that that's probably the case.
Well, who cares? They can do what they feel like doing. I mean, anyway.
Anything else you want to go ahead and talk about?
This country is just collapsing more and more every day. That's all I can see. And there's nothing we can do about it. And it's just, I agree with you, Martin. People think Ron Paul is the savior. No, Ron Paul's not going to be the savior. Y'all will come and clean this place up. It's too big for any one man to fix up. That's all.
Well, it's pretty well unfixable. That's why I go ahead and tell people it's absolutely unfixable. Now, okay, it looks like I've gone ahead and got hung up here. Let me go ahead and see if I can't go ahead and get on here. And I'll have to go ahead and use the house phone to do it here. Could I go ahead and, you going to go ahead and call back in again?
Let me hang up. I'm getting tired now, so for me.
Okay. All right. That's it for you then. All right. You know, Russ, thanks for calling in. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Good night.
Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Whigger's always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, the ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a Whigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating crop. I wake up and ride away. If the Whiggers come to mind, the way they run to and fro, if the Whiggers you'll never find. Yeah,
We got a wigger problem, which is always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, sister wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem, till the top up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long ago, our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, sister wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Fill the drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating drop. The way they run to and fro, and they're always eating slop.
Eli James for White here, no doubt. Okay, folks, we're on to the second section of the Movement Turd. And in any case, Russ didn't last very long. He didn't really want to go ahead and discuss about Eli James being a Jew. He don't mind talking about Finkelstein, he might be a Jew, but he don't like going ahead and talking about Russ for being a Jew. And the answer is sometimes Russ wants to go ahead and, well, what's called, hunt with the, run with the fox and hunt with the hounds, or hunt with the hares or whatever. So, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. I mean, used to have old Brian Wright. The character was a shit-skinned mamzer. And he used to yap all this sort of crap, called me muddy. The thing you know is about his big old blue eyes, but essentially his dark hair, that means he's a mamzer. And here was the shit skin. He had black eyes. He had slant eyes. He had a little Fu Manchu thing, and he had Crohn's. And found out later he had Crohn's. And essentially, from what you could go ahead and tell about his hair, it was sort of far darker, and it had far more gook hair than what I'll ever have here. My hair is rather—it's long, but it's rather fine, and it has a tendency to go ahead and get matted real easy. It's rather fine, fine, fine hair, but I have a rather fine set of hair. Now, some people saying is that that means you don't have a lot of testosterone, and I don't worry about it. I don't really worry about it. Oh, by the way, Keith Southworth tomorrow is going to go ahead and cover church government. And pretty well, I was sort of wondering, well, is it really a necessary sermon? Keith thinks it is. I'm not sure if it is, because essentially most of your actual Christian Day congregations are only just one or two or three family congregations, and they already know who's their boss. They might go ahead and have somebody they hire, or part-time pastor or something like that here. Or they may have none at all, and they may have a number of heresies. But on the other hand, Keith does go ahead and cover in the Bible, things pretty good here. So essentially, he's gone ahead and told me what scriptures he's going to go ahead and use, and I've already gone ahead and posted the announcements here. So where was I here? Do you eulogize with your niglet niece? And the answer is that's not my niglet niece. As far as I'm concerned, Jeremy and Lyle Bill Mumps Nuts the Clue can go down and molest them. you know, as well as they want. I mean, essentially, Lyle-Bell is closer to it in Florida, from what I gather. And so is Jeremy in North Georgia here. Of course, he has his own niglet niece to molest, just like Lyle-Bell does. So anyway, doesn't really, you know, doesn't really matter. I don't really have any control over what, you know, what some people do at all. It wasn't my idea for it to go ahead and happen. Now, in the case of Jeremy Visser, when he was being caught, when he was being caught out, you know, essentially as a so-called Aryan Nations pastor, he went ahead and showed that, no, I'm not an Aryan Nations pastor. I'm not a white supremacist. Hell, I'm not even white. No big deal. I'm not even white. See? Now, look at my brother, Sean Aaron Visser. Why? He's a full blood, he's my full blooded brother here. He's full brother, you know, same father, same mother. And what happens is that here he is marrying marrying even darker beaner. And essentially she went ahead and was married to a nigger. So essentially it's not like she really suffers from telegony. I mean, same thing with Trader Glenn Miller, like Hadding goes ahead and says, Hadding took it down. I went ahead and pointed out is that, no, Trader Glenn Miller is not a race mixer. I mean, he's already racially mixed. So what difference does adding a little bit more mud into its bloodline matter? Who gives a crap? Okay? So, anyway, guest number 7 is yapping, all sorts of, guest number 7 is probably Seedliner, a.k.a. Jeremy Visser. And essentially, these tards never give up. They never give up. But they get all mad because they sort of think that they ought to be believed for all their lying and all their idiocy that they go ahead and say. And people ought to go ahead and respect their silliness that they're saying here. And folks, well, that's fine if you want to go ahead and believe that stupid shit here. I mean, they don't. I was in a nuclear missile battery. And folks, they have something called a CEOI. They have, they have certain sort of things here. And these missile crews, have niggers in them. Of course, they'd have, for the gunner, the one who actually aimed the thing, he'd invariably be a white PFC or Spec 4, the actual gunner. Although the sergeant, in many cases would be a nigger and was supposed to be the actual gunner. The actual gunner was always a white guy with at least 100 IQ, and he would go ahead and make sure that the missile was aimed on the right azimuth at the firing point. And folks, there's all sorts of things to go ahead and make sure that these people are not being sent running all over the place by the Red Army, going ahead and having somebody speaking English without an accent telling them to go somewhere or to not go ahead and fire or not to go ahead and do this here. Okay? In many cases, the procedures are, they're already arranged according to a certain thing. The crew knows the procedures, but you always have confirmation. Because folks, you're not supposed to fire a nuclear weapon without essentially presidential authorization here. That's why it's called a PAL key, a presidential authorization lock key. And what they have an NCO and an officer, a red and a blue. And folks, one officer or one NCO isn't able to go ahead and launch a nuclear weapon. But even more to the point, they're not supposed to go ahead and make the warhead. They're not supposed to go ahead and drive to a particular fire point. They're not supposed to go ahead and do anything unless they know that this is coming down from their fire direction and control center. Okay? But here you have these tards, like Jeremy Visser or Oba Gender Bender or what have you. Oh, by the way, I went ahead and come up with the Oba Gender Bender song here, where it comes from the land down low under, where sheep glow and poofters plunder. Can you hear the blunder? And Oba Gender better run. But, it's Mangina better take cover. In any case, you have these characters, they show up, they're oh so righteous, they go ahead and they tell all sorts of, crap here, and then you're expected to believe them. Why? Well, because they say, say what they say here. Eli James is particularly bad about that sort of thing. Now, I had to go ahead, and I went ahead and saved his article from 2005, to where essentially I'd been referencing it, and now Eli James went ahead and took it down. But it still is on his webpage. You have to know which number to go ahead and hit. And Eli James did the same thing over a year ago when he was taking down my web pages. Folks, he's a Jew because he acts like a Jew, okay? So where is real these days? And the answer is that, you know, he's sort of either hidden in Mentor, or maybe he's going ass to mouth, having a fine time with old Victor Switzer. Or maybe he's giving Jerome Mosley a high colonic. Nobody knows. And to be honest, nobody really cares. Nobody really cares what the little mamzer is doing at all. Okay? So, in any case, getting on, you know. Okay, I'm looking at guest number 10, and, you know, the rest of them here. Here they are making all these sort of accusations. And folks, you have these dirty mamzers here, be it Kentucky Chomo Melungeon over on the monkey barrel / the queer barrel, be it Jeremy Visser, be it Oba Genderbender. And Jeremy Visser is especially bad about it. He went ahead and went on a seed liner when, essentially after he kicked me and Pastor John Britton off in March, he got ahead and got to his new Zog-provided Pisser's Pussy Parlor. And Visser has the notion he can go ahead and say whatever the hell he wants to, and essentially there's not going to be any consequence for it. And the thing about it is that you understand why Jeremy Visser does it. It's because he's just a dirty, shit-eating mamzer. He's just a red nigger. I mean, I was looking at his picture. He looks so tormented. And chances are, it looks like he's the one who's molesting his little cork-eyed, bottle blonde, little high yellow nigglet here. And he's looking so beat down here. But he can't stop from being evil because that's what he is. He's just an evil, lying mamzer here. He acts the way he does here. And the only way that these creatures will go ahead and behave is when they first come in, like Jews and the rest come in, to go ahead and say, well, are we not men? Are we not human? Sort of like the island of Dr. Pissarro. That's pretty well the name of it. And that's what he used. He was in jail for 3 weeks, and then he got off, and he took down his forums. He took down everything else here. And, folks, I was going ahead and looking at Oba Genderbender's thing here, and I noticed that Oba Genderbender has a blog, and Oba Genderbender has a forum. Now, since, you know, the Christian Identity Forum / SMP, which meant Single Machines Format, forum. Now what happens is the thing is sitting down, the critter is working on it. But essentially what happens when it comes up, it's going to go ahead and be missing a whole lot of posts. It's going to go ahead and probably be gone with Brian Real. It's going to go ahead and disappear a whole bunch of shit here. It's going to go ahead and claim that it couldn't go ahead and use the database. But what it could have done all along is simply just go ahead and keep up its current forum and then go ahead and create, the ChristianIdentityForum.net/IMP for, the name of its new forum. But it didn't want to do that any more than Jeremy Visser did. Jeremy Visser went ahead and nuked, Pisser Cinder because it had a bunch of embarrassing stuff on it about what a criminal it was. And then claim, well, Amy Rose, sock puppet, went ahead and took it down and had thousands and thousands of listeners. Well, that's a lie. And then it claimed later on, well, I didn't actually have control. It was, it was a pirated V-Bulletin license. And then it claimed to say, well, no. Linstead went ahead and brought in all bunch of scrutiny on it, and I got kicked off the free holster for terms of service violation. Folks, all together lies. Folks, I didn't go ahead and report Pisser Cinder. Pisser went ahead and nuked it. Folks, when you've been in the bowel movement, you know, as long as I have here, I mean, this is not the first rodeo I've been to. Essentially, I've seen these criminals act up all the time. Okay? You know, are honorable white men? No, they're not honorable. They're not white. And they're not men. Okay? Anyway, guest number 7 is just yapping all this crap here. And essentially, they sort of act like little mamsers, and they go on and on and on and on here. In any case, okay. Well, probably seven, and you know, 10 are probably Brian Wright and this or here yapping about Short Eyes. I mean, essentially, you know what happens to old Visser? You know what happens to Visser and Brian, you know, Brian Wright? Essentially what they do is that they pretend to be white. They join the Aryan Brotherhood, and that's what Brian Wright did. He got ordained by supposedly the Texas Circle Aryan Brotherhood. And essentially he's just a shit-eating mamzer here. He really belongs not in the Hell's Angels, and for my guy, he belongs in the Mongols. Or the Mongrels. And they go ahead and they yap, 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 and they believe Zog. And you can't, I mean, when you detect these mamzers, pretend to be Christian identity. I mean, you deal with them. You exterminate a lot of them here to where they don't dare show up here. In any case, way back on December 8th of 2008, you know, here's old Brian Wright yapping, yapping, yapping about all this sort of crap here, and essentially it was doing the same thing here. And pretty well, it ran its mouth to where I actually investigated and found out about, Mo Gullett here, about to go ahead and lose his church charter. And I made the mistake of going ahead and getting Mo Gullett to go ahead and save his charter. And I wish I hadn't, you know, looking back on it. But it looks like Paul Mullett has sort of disappeared again. And it looks like you have Eli James and Anglem Cecil Truett running around. And, well, Saturday night, Anglem Cecil Truett showed up for a little time and then disappeared. So, essentially, I sort of think that when it gets more and more clear that Eli James is a Jew, pretty well he's going to go ahead and lose most of his audience here. So, in any case, you know, I'm just pretty well looking at the chat here, and it looks like you got Visser, and you got its fellow little mamzers, and essentially like all criminals, they assume that just because they go, you know, they talk about how they're against Zog, but they always support Zog, and, you know, the reason of it is that Zog keeps white people from exterminating these shit-skinned mamzers, which are infiltrators. So do they belong in Christian identity? And the answer is no, they never did and never will. I mean, they can go, I mean, the thing about Visser, and this is what's, you know, hilarious about Visser is that, heck, Visser doesn't even dare go ahead and show up as Seedliner. He has to go ahead and show up as a little anonymous guest, probably guest number 7 here. And the critter thinks it's fooling somebody. It's not, okay? Okay, on this Jew cartoon. Okay, well, let me go ahead and look at it here. Alrighty. Let me go ahead and look at it. Well, that's a good one here, you know. Let me see. I'm looking at here. International corporations, foundations, Wall Street, the media. Well, hey, this is a good, you know, Sir Poco. Why, heck, you're a genius. I'm hoping that you'll next go ahead and do one about, you know, with Finkelschini. That's what I'm hoping you'll go ahead and, you know, do next here. One with Finkelschini. I mean, heck, look at that nose here. I mean, shoot, old Finkelschini has one hell of a snout here. So, oh, by the way, I went ahead and looked, and Finkelschini has another Zogbots cartoon, but this time with old Dan Kiersey. Dan Kiersey looks white here. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and click on the, all right, well, that's the same one here, Necro Serial Killer. I mean, Sir Poco, that is a good cartoon, and I'm going to go ahead and put it on the forum. So, thanks. If you would, the next one I would hope, and you can go ahead and just change it just a little bit with old Finkelschini. Just go ahead and put just a few hairs, you know, up out of its head here, you know. You know, generally the joke would be, well, I've, you know, what happens is that, you know, old Finkelschini went ahead and studied at the yeshiva school here. You know, the yeshiva school, you know, and he only got a little bit of Greek, he got a little bit of, only a little bit of English and even less Greek. In any case, so, thanks, Sir Poco, okay? And thanks, guest number 8, okay? I really appreciate it. Alrighty, Rabbi Samuelson. Well, it looks like Visser, you know, it looks like Visser decided to go ahead and log on officially, okay? So, I guess Rabbi Samuelson knows all about it. Oh, by the way, I want to go ahead and talk about Richard Niemela. Richard Niemela was, you know, has been a Jew for a long time, and it supports the Clint Downey notions of no devil. And folks, I was going ahead looking back at my emails from 2000, putting them up when me and Hengist used to fight with Niemela. And what they had is they had this Jewess named Gerda Koch, K-O-C-K, or Gerda Koch, or whatever. And she lived in northwest Arkansas, around Gentry, Arkansas. And what she was into these old books here. And Pastor John Britton's dad bought a few books from her. And she charged one heck of a price for them. And, Pastor John, you know, James Britton used to say, well, usually if they go ahead and deal with old books, they're Jews. Okay? So, any case here. Well, I'm going to go ahead and look at this other one here. Okay. All right. Look, Rabbi Samuelson, you're about to go ahead and get blocked here if you can't go ahead. I mean, no trolling, you know, no trolling the chat room, okay? Yeah, there's the old Zuqua picture here. Visser, you know, Eli James, the rest of them. They knew damn well what the hell this critter was. And, by the way, I was looking on the Eli James, thing here. McBragg talking about how Brian Reel's his brother. You have Maui Patricia talking about how Brian Reel is her brother. And folks, I don't doubt it. Okay? Rabbi Samuelson, one warning, no more spamming, okay? Alright. Brandon McInerney. Challenge to, okay. Well, you know, Visser, you ought to thank him for, you know, making you into a Mamzer here, okay? Yeah, well, what happens, guest number 7 thinks of Brian Reel's white and, that sort of stupid shit here. Oh, we got 30 years. Okay. Who's Brandon McInerney? Let's see if I can go ahead and see who that is. Looks like we got some bowel movement news here after all. California teens sentenced for killing gay student. Okay. Folks, you never take a plea deal like that here. You know what I mean? So I guess this Brandon McInerney, went ahead and killed this flaming faggot here. Couldn't control his anger. Was, you know, influenced by white supremacy ideology here. Folks, I mean, the way things are going, you don't need to go ahead and put up with this sort of crap here. Anyway, where was I here? Rabbi Samuelson might be Obagender Bender. You know, probably is here. Anyway, Obagender Bender, you know, have fun here. I know the critters showed up. It's, you know, it's having fun. No, you know. Let me see. In any case. Alright, I'm sort of looking at the, I'm looking at the chat here. Probably shouldn't. In any case. You know, the name of it is that, essentially you end up having these characters, they show in, they're obvious Mamzers, and essentially I was looking at this latest one to where Eli James had gone ahead and sort of started hiding the thing. And folks, whenever Eli James goes ahead and talks, you know, talks and talks and talks, essentially makes a bunch of lies here, he goes ahead and assumes that you're supposed to go ahead and believe these lies. And if you don't hear why, you are defaming a Christian brother. And folks, that's not the case at all. Eli James is, you know, I believe he's a Jew. You know, I mean, you know, he sort of looks like, he looks very much like this Chicago Jew. And then to go ahead on top of it, you end up having Obagender Bender goes ahead and comes up with old Penn Jillette. Or, he was an atheist, and possibly a Jew. I don't know what the heck the character is here. I don't even pay much attention to him. Or this Ira Einhorn, and I never did see the picture of him. So, essentially, you have all these anonymous tards. You have no idea what the hell they look like. And, well, with the case of Visser, he took down his 2008 the Feast of Tabernacles because he looked like a meth goober. And they go ahead and take down all these embarrassing photos. They take down all this embarrassing stuff. And they keep on trying to go ahead and get within the congregation. And, folks, they're not fooling anybody. I mean, even when I was inclined to give Eli James the benefit of the doubt before I found out Brian Reel's real name, and Eli James was having a big fit, I mean, I would go ahead and look at that picture of Eli James, and I couldn't, you know, I mean, shoot, the guy did not look like a white man to me. Heck, he even looked like a white man to Russ Walker. So what do you do with these people? And the answer is that, you know, one of the other things here is that they like censoring people. Just like every single Jew or every single Mamzer, you know, just like, well, Visser for that matter. Well, you know, Finkelschini. They promise you freedom of speech, and then they go ahead and they lie. They promise you no censorship, and then they go ahead and lie. And they make up a bunch of little rules around the way here. Sort of like in this game of Survivor, where old Coach, or Benjamin Wade, was talking about, oh, duty, honor, we're going to play an honorable game. And, oh, I'm going to go ahead and take this, you know, this young Anglo-Mestizo, or really Mestizo-Anglo, with me, even though he was winning every single challenge. And if he had gotten in front of the jury of people who had already been kicked out, since the vast majority of them, at least six of them, were, you know, six out of the nine were these people from the other tribe who got kicked out. I mean, that wouldn't have been smart of him, and he knew it. So when it came down to it, he didn't really go ahead and believe in all this horse shit about honor he was talking about. Essentially, all it was just a means of doing whatever the heck they want to. There's this other little Mamzer here, Brandon Hance, who was the nephew of the infamous Russell Hance. And essentially, here is a little superstitious Mamzer, sort of like Visser, sort of like Obagender Bender with her imprecatory prayer and all this other stupid shit. And they come up with all these notions, and they have all this projection. Like, for, you know, one reason, there was a quote model. She was an Anglo-Mestizo too. And this little branding character was lying out the ass about how, you know, this person was trying to kick him out. And essentially, it was all because this character was worried that he would be seduced by this, you know, Anglo-Mestizo modeling, you know, modeling skate. Now, she didn't look that good to me. It's sort of like looking at the TV to where nowadays you end up seeing, quote, blonde women, sort of like the Pisseroids. But what happens, they have Mamzer eyes. And they're not white. they're off-white, you know, like Jeremy Visser, like, well, Brian Wright's a full-fledged, you know, Jew Mamzer, you know, of Gook descent here. Let me see. This, you know, I mean, Obagender Bender is probably a Jew Mamzer faggot of some sort. But folks, they're not white, but they're sort of pretend to be white, but they are so superstitious. And, folks, I'm going to go ahead. I went ahead and promised this one guy at Covington's because I'm about to go ahead and lower the boom on Command Dork McFag. I really am. To where here you have these characters, and essentially what they insist upon is they insist upon getting control and then censoring anybody who goes ahead and disagrees here. Now I'm looking at David Duke. I'm looking at David Duke on the sperm front thing here, talking about what a hero David Duke is. No, David Duke is just a crook. David Duke is just a thief. All these people care. I mean, when Whiggers just care for nobody other than themselves, you know, like David Duke, he's just a crook. But essentially, they whine like pussies about, oh, how the Germans and the Jews are censoring us. But on the other hand, their little tards go ahead and censor other people. And folks, censorship by Jews has been replaced by censorship by Whiggers in white nationalism. Be it Hatting the Meerkat, be it Whigger Squill, be it April Gady, be it David Duke, be it Clint Downey and her Meerkat over on Spermfront, you have more and more and more of this. These characters show up here. They don't have any character. They don't have any honesty. They don't have anything. Okay? So, any case here, David Duke, the duck, has done a lot for our race. What has he done for our race? Guess number three. Okay? Oh, yes. Scorpio has done, I mean, there's a hilarious one. I laughed my head off about how Dr. Finkelstein, you know, plastic surgeon, you know, has gone ahead and, you know, moved some liposuction, you know, from David Duke's ass here. You know what I mean? So, anyway, and it has a little thing where it says, you know, rates here, you know, for big ass, you know, $200, for big fat ass, you know, double that, for T-Rex ass, you know, $1,000, for super T-Rex ass here, it's $2,000, and I mean, it's sort of, you gotta wonder what they do with all that fat here, well, in any case. Yeah, I mean, I love watching Fight Club here because, old Tyler Durden was using all that human fat to go ahead and make soap, but he was also using it to make glycerin, nitroglycerin. And you go ahead and use it to, you know, blow down all these big corporate skyscrapers and stuff here, okay? Well, yeah, I do remember it here. You know what I mean? So, any case, yeah, whenever I hear that word culture, I reach for my Browning here. Well, okay. Well, Goring said, supposedly said, although he didn't actually say it, you know, whenever I hear the word culture, I reach for my revolver. You know, supposedly Goring said that, although somebody went ahead and pointed out that no, he didn't. But on the other hand, it's the same character who said that Benjamin Franklin didn't say that the Jews were Asiatic race and they should never be allowed in this continent here. So anyway, where was I? Where was I? I might go ahead and just take a break here. And I think I will. What was it, 9:19? I've been yakking on for about, for a while. So I think I'll go ahead and take a quick break. And then I'll go ahead and probably discuss old Steve. You know, Steve, what's his name? You know, as well as the rest of the Targe here. So, anyway, there's not much happening. And by the way, Mona, if you get a chance, why don't you go ahead and call in? Let me go ahead and you can call in. I'll give you the number here in a minute. So, folks, hail victory.
You're a mean kike, Rab, I think. You're really are a Jew. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as a kike, Rab, I think. You're a bad banana with a greasy nigger nose peel. You're a monster, Rab, I think. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You got garlic in your soul, Rab, I think. I wouldn't touch you with a 666-foot pole. You're a vile one, Rab, I think. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick cacodile, Rab, I think. The choice between the two of you, I take the seasick cacodile. You're a foul one, Rab, I think, Oshini. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Rab, I think. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stink, stunk. You're a rotter, Rab, I think. You're the king of sinful twats. Your fart's a dead tomato splot. Your moldy purple spots, Rab, I think. Your soul is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable. Mangled up and tangled up twats. You nauseate me, Rab, I think, with a nauseous super nos. You're crooked jerky jockey and you ride a crooked bat twat, Rab, I think. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
Alrighty, we got Mona Montgomery on the line. How you doing, Mona?
Well, hi, Martin. It's nice to talk to you.
Well, it's nice talking. I do have one of your show. I do have both of your shows up. Let's see. I had a sort of block of four shows in November that I didn't go ahead and get up, but I did get both of yours up here, and we went ahead and talked about quite a bit of stuff here. I'm still wondering, what the heck do you see in old Finkelshiny?
I think it's that he views the Bible the way I do. He claims to take it literally, but I don't think he takes it literally.
Oh, I don't think he does either here, Mona. Yeah, I don't think he does either. Keith goes ahead, and he's the one who takes it literally. I don't know if you've been listening on Keith's two shows on Tuesday night or not.
Oh, you're doing such a great job of giving Keith a forum. Keith has a fascinating view. He takes the Bible absolutely literally, and he will go as far as it's possible to go to prove what it means.
Well, he's going to go ahead and discuss tomorrow biblical church government. And folks, what it boils down to, I went ahead and said, well, it's going to be controversial. And I said, well, not really, Keith. Essentially, most of the congregations in Christian Identity are one or two or three family congregations, and there's very seldom, if it's usually just it's. It's pretty well a it's very, not a matriarchal, but it's a, patriarchal society. And among the small Christian congregation, identity congregations I've seen,
You know, I'm not talking about the Herbert Armstrong ones. I'm talking about the, you know, the small organic Christian identity ones I've seen, is that since it's one or two or three family congregations, you're not going to go ahead and get in unless you have an invite, and you're not going to be invited unless they sort of know you.
Yeah, I heard you say that too. That was very interesting.
And as a result, there's not any real question as to who is in charge, because whoever is in charge, like, for example, this one around Goodman, Missouri, about 14, 15 miles south of me. I mean, essentially, the ones who really ran it were the, you know, were these people who ran a dairy farm, but they sort of hired a part-time minister, and most of the time he lived on being a saddle maker, or custom saddle maker, for the stockyards. And, you know, essentially he would go ahead and preach. Now, most of the time, about every single sermon was sacred name. When you call me, then call me Yahweh, and they had a special name for Jesus Christ. And, you know, in any case, my dad, they went ahead and invited my dad, and he went ahead and listened to it for about 2 hours. You know, when you call me, then call me Yahweh. And essentially the minister said, "What do you think about it?" My dad said, "Well, it was interesting. It was interesting horse shit, but I still think it's horse shit." And, the dairy farmer's wife, that's blasphemy. But essentially the pastor at the time, he sort of thought it was sort of funny. And, he wasn't too thrilled about my dad calling his, 2.5 hour sermon, you know, on one subject, horse shit. But, essentially, they went ahead and, you know, just sort of, you know, laughed it off here. Although my dad, I don't think, ever got invited again. So my brother, he'd go down there, and he'd go down there 2 or 3 times here. And, you know, I mean, I went there once or twice. Nah, it was okay. But, I mean, and they were nice people. What we would do is that we would haul hay. Me and my brother would haul hay after I got out of the Army. And essentially we would have lots and lots and lots of hay, because they would hay these, you know, this prairie hay off from around southeast Joplin. And then they built, Conway Trucking and CFI and all this sort of thing. And, you know, it's not near as much land area because, you know, now it has buildings and stuff on the southwest there, you know, portion of Joplin. But we used to haul quite a bit of hay, but we'd never haul it on Saturday, of course, because that was the Sabbath. So we did get one. We would get a break here, although me and my brother would go ahead and haul it somewhere else here. But in any case, Keith's going to go ahead and have a sermon on church government. And, you know, the thing about it is, Mona, is that you're absolutely right. Think goes ahead, and I have caught him several times, and I think other people have caught him going ahead and, well, mistranslating the Bible, going ahead and picking and choosing, like you do, what he's going to go ahead and believe. And Mona, I agree with you 100%. Fink goes ahead and he picks and chooses what he chooses to believe, whereas Keith goes ahead and goes right through. And in fact, in many cases, his Christian Identity, Bible study group actually is far more like the Worldwide Church of God back in the day, because essentially that was what we were taught to do, is don't take the minister's word for it, well, unless he's preaching something that, you know, means send your money to Herbert or take an anointing cloth or whatever. But in many cases, they would go ahead and go through the Bible. And,
Keith takes the position that the Bible is a miraculous gift from God, and that it's perfect, and all. And having taken that position, anything you don't understand can be understood if you study the Bible sufficiently.
If you study it sufficiently, or, you know, I mean, you've got to be an Israelite. You've got to go ahead and understand. You've got to go ahead and be able to understand it here. I mean, it's closed really to the non-Israelite. It's closed to the Jew. It's closed to the non-white. And that's pretty well just a straightforward belief here. And Keith is, I believe, you know, right in that here. What Keith has done is that several times he has he has gone ahead and given me a few ideas that I've never, you know, thought of before, you know. And like I tell him, hey, I'm not sure if I altogether agree with you. You know, I don't think I really agree with, I think Keith is saying that Adam was around before he got formed. You know, and I don't really agree with that. But in any case, like I've going to explain to Keith, like I've explained to Russ Walker, you have so, you know, once there's no overall control, there's no actual, you know, people, you know, like under Herbert Armstrong's day, putting their thumb and saying, you must believe or you will be disfellowshipped, essentially, you end up having these people go ahead and, you know, the first thing to go is the Sabbath day, you know, then the Tabernacles day, and then sooner or later, you know, if they're sort of like me, you know, of Swedish descent, I mean, sometimes, you end up eating, you know, ham, and you end up eating bacon, and a lot of things end up sort of going a little bit by the boards here. And, that is just the way it is here. And yes, somebody, you know, be it Eli James or, you know, Fink comes in and, well, you're all heretics if you don't agree with me 100%. And,
I don't know Eli James because I'm not that interested in him, but I agree that Fink is not open to any discussion or dissension. That's true. You can ask him a question if you want him to explain his position, but he's not interested in anybody else's position.
No, he's not here. And, like I explained to Eli James, you were listening to Finkelstein at Toshiba number one. Usually it'll go ahead and go to Finkelstein's chat because, you know, when you see, you do see Dick Weltney, and that's the Sheba number one.
That's you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's me.
Right.
And, essentially, he knows it's me here. What I use to go ahead and just record, you know, the chat here, if it's coming in as compact number one. And I use compact, you know, I use Toshiba number two, because it's the quicker machine, and especially on, using Google Chrome, I go ahead, I can usually, about two or three times, I'll go ahead and use the Google Chrome to go ahead and troll Eliers most of the time, but occasionally I'll go ahead and troll Finkelstein's. And you have old Matt Twatzog Bot, his little drunken, drunken flunky here who, his dad was either an FBI or CIA agent. You know, he went to high school years in Reston, Virginia. And he tried to go ahead and lie that his dad was a U.S. Geological Survey, agent. And so, well, that's a total lie, because if you was a U.S. Geological Survey agent, you know where the head of the U.S. Geological Survey is?
No.
Well, it ain't Washington. It happens to be Rolla, Missouri.
Oh, okay.
I know, I went to the school of, now they're calling it the school of, they're called the Missouri School of Technology. They used to call it the University of Missouri Rolla. Before that, they used to call it the Missouri School of Mines and Technology. And what happens is that Rolla was really the first engineering school, you know, public university engineering school west of the Mississippi. And that's the reason that Fort Leonard Wood is the engineering post of the Army. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So what happens, the U.S. Geological Survey is based in Rolla. And what happens, he's based in Reston here, which is usually an FBI or mainly a CIA town here. And essentially, old Matt huh?
I never heard of a CIA town before. That sounds pretty...
Well, Reston, Virginia. I mean, Langley, Virginia is the CIA town here, but essentially most of the CIA spooks kids go ahead and live. And essentially here is old Matt Twatzog Bot talking about how he was able to go through his high school years, his junior high school years in one place, i.e. Reston, Virginia.
Yeah.
Well, folks,
That goes and explains that old Matt Twat Zogbot's daddy is a federal agent here. Old Matt Twat Zogbot, you know, he goes ahead and goes in as William Fink. And essentially, I sort of think he's, I think the term Zogbot existed before, but I popularized it because his name was Matt Ott. So I called him Matt Twat Zogbot.
Well, it's wonderful.
And what happens is that then here's old Finkelschini, and he hears the name Zogbots, and, that's where I'm going to go ahead. So what he does, he claims that Eli James is a Zogbot, claims that I, of course, am the number one Zogbot. Russ Walker is a Zogbot. And what happens, he had a picture of Dan Kiersey. And, Dan Kiersey, I go ahead and look, and he looks like a total Whigger tard. He doesn't look Anglo Mestizo, he doesn't look anything. He's a complete Whigger tard. He ain't like Dan Johns that, I thought was just a red nigger like Visser. What happens is that he's just a total, he's probably a total tard, just like a Whigger tard, just like Greggy Howard. But Saturday night, I mean, shoot, there were about three people logged on. One was old Commandor McFag, another two or three, and then there was about three guests, and I was two of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I was using Toshiba number two to log on, to log on as a guest. I was going ahead and using compact number one here. And essentially, this was before I was trolling with the Google Chrome here. And he had hardly anybody. Now, Sunday morning, I went ahead and pointed out, I said, look, Fink is just totally proprietarial. You got a whole bunch of people because you don't have anybody on there. I said, do you think it's quite possible that because Fink is so jealous that essentially you have, his very own, Wikipedia talks to Mamsers running around and using a different name so they won't go ahead and be kicked off by Finkelschini? And he said, well, yeah, Eli James went ahead and said, yes, it was here. And then you end up having old, I think it was old Necro Serial Killer, and you had old Peter Goodman 2005, and they were spamming the crap out of, Eli James here. Occasionally they go ahead and they spam the crap out of Fink here, but old Matt Twatzogbot, usually I'll go through about, I'll usually go through Rabbi Elier, then I'll go through Jew Boy Eli, and then I'll go ahead and go through a different name here, and essentially I end up, old Matt Twatzogbot, it's pretty quick. He's almost as quick as Brian Rio to go ahead and censor. But, Mona, you do realize is that censoring is not a sign. Having to censor is not a sign of intellectual superiority. It's pretty well an admission.
I even go so far as if I see someone censoring like that, I question whether they're white. I'm probably carrying it too far, but they certainly are not very intelligent.
Well, they're... I mean, Keith is sort of worried about, maybe we'll get a bunch of these people to follow Eli James and following Fink here. And I say, you don't really want these people at all. Most of them are, I've sort of seen them over the years. What they are is they're wannabes. They want to go ahead and pretend to be quite here. And a couple times, when Visser was going ahead and coming back, you had one of these characters go ahead and say that the Cherokees were Scots. Well, no, you had a bunch of Scots which went ahead and, race mixed into the Cherokees.
Right.
And they were, the Cherokees were a tribe which had a lot of, endemic white blood mixed in with them.
According to the Mormons, that was when the Mormons sailed over from Israel about 3,000 years ago, and some of them, according to their legend, did fall in and go and join the Indian tribes like the Cherokees, but the good ones did not.
Well, you got sort of wrong. What happens is that around the time of the Babylonian, about the time of the Babylonian incursion here, you had, about 600 or 700 B.C., you had these people, they came over, and this was the second wave. You had a previous wave called the Etherites, who came over around the time of Nimrod and Babylon 5,000 or so years ago. They came over 5,000 years ago. They got in a big old fight, and they nearly killed one another, and there was only one or two of them left. By the time the, quote, you know, the reason they call them Mormons here is because the angel Mormoni, who was a, you know, in real life, he was a, you know, general or something like that, and essentially they got slaughtered supposedly somewhere around 400 AD or 900 AD or whatever. But what they believed is that this one guy came over with the sons, and his two oldest sons were called Laman and Lemuel, and then his two younger sons was called Nephi and Sam. And my grandmother, who was a, you know, who was a Mormon at the time, wanted when I was 12 years old me to go ahead and read the Book of Mormon and tell me what I thought of it. You know, I was a favorite grandson, and I said, well, I went ahead and read it, but, you know, I think Joseph Smith was quite the novelist. You know, what happened? I mean, Laman, Lemuel, Nephi, and Sam, what's it with, and Sam? Did he run out of creative, you know, flow after Nephi? And, you know, I said other criticisms here, and many times I've gone ahead and freaked out these Mormons by, they claim that the honeybee was called the Deseret, you know, just like Salt Lake, you know, newspapers called the Deseret Times,
uh-huh.
You know, about how they found a honeybee. Well, actually, the honeybee, the Shawnee, would go ahead and see in Ohio these honeybees which had escaped, you know, and they called it the white man's stinging fly, and they called it the white man's sugar fly. So essentially, at least European honeybees were not native to this continent originally here. So I'd go ahead and say, oh, by the way, how come it is, since it goes ahead and says that, you know, well, anyway, they said that the Lamanites and the Lemuelites were wicked. So Yahweh went ahead and turned their skin dark, gave them the, quote, curse of Cain. Now, when a Mormon talks about the curse of Cain, he's talking about a dark hide, okay? And later on, when Jesus Christ came to the New World after he got crucified in the Old World, supposedly you had the good Lamanites, you know, who they called the Indians, turned light, and you had the bad Nephites turned dark here. They sort of crossed the color line, sort of like Michael Jackson and George Hamilton here, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know about George Hamilton. He liked going here. He's a white guy who liked getting a real deep tan. Deep tan here. You know, whereas, anyway, you know, sort of like, you know, this guy named Ice, you know, he calls himself Icelander.
Yeah, I've seen Icelander in your chat room, and I've seen him in Fink's chat.
Well, you see him in Fink's chat. About 6-7 months ago, he went ahead and posted a picture of him. You know, I guess his real name is Adam whatever here. And what happens, he has dark cork eyes, and he has a white pallor skin, sort of like old Michael Jackson here. He's some sort of little Anglo Mestizo Mamzer here. I doubt he's from Iceland at all here anymore.
I had a plumber who was from Iceland, and his name was Thor, and he was about 24 years old, and he was one of the most beautiful men I've ever seen. They are a beautiful race of people.
Well, what they are is that they were Norwegian, essentially they were Norwegian killers. They were Norwegian, you know, they were Norwegian pirates and killers who couldn't get along very good in Norway. And what they did is they went ahead and stole a bunch of Irish women. See, the Irish had been there in Iceland before, and then, you know, here come these Norwegian pirates, and they said during the first 50 years, around 900 or so, around, you know, they started colonizing around 850. AD. They said the first 50 years of Icelandic, you know, people living there, only two of them died of natural causes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, essentially, they were a violent bunch here.
And, my grandpa Fred Lindstedt, he wasn't too crazy about Norwegians. He referred to them as sneaky. And, Pastor John Britton said, back in 1905, 10,000 Swedes were running through the weeds. And I said, well, that's the thing about us, Swedish peasants here. We don't want none of you damn sneaky Norwegians in our kingdom. So that's why we had to go ahead and shoot Charles the Twelfth, in the back here. we've been known to go ahead and kill Swedish kings who want to bring you damn sneaky Norwegians, into merry old Sweden here.
Yeah.
But, Charles the Twelfth, he went ahead and lost to Peter the Great, with all his wars and wars and wars. And what happens is that, during his wars, these Norwegians in, southeast Norway, essentially sort of rebelled, and he tried to go ahead and bring them back. And essentially some of these Swedes were sort of tired of all his wars. He'd gone ahead and lost a lot of men in Russia, and essentially what happens is that they sort of shot him in the back or something like that, and ended his war to bring the Norwegians, into Sweden. So, that's pretty well what I said is that, the Swedish king, he wanted to go ahead and keep the Norwegians in, and us Swedes didn't really want any sneaking Norwegians in, and, on the plains of South Dakota, the Norwegians and Swedes would go ahead, they'd talk about 10,000 Swedes running through the weeds, and, the Swedes would call these Norwegians a bunch of, sneaky bastards here. And besides, most of the Norwegians, they belong in North Dakota anyway here. I mean, they're just a bunch of liberal Indian lover, communists anyway here. So anyway, I don't know why my grandpa Fred Lindstedt had a big fit about it. I mean, shoot, it occurred when he was 11 years old, and he didn't really have any dog in that fight anyway. But, I'm sort of looking at the chat room. But anyway, this isolate, you have these characters, both on Eli James and both on Finkelschini, and what happens is that they're wannabe whites, like this.
Well, let me get you to clarify so I completely understand. So you're saying Icelandic does not look like my beautiful plumber.
No, he showed a picture of supposedly himself. His name is Adam B. or something like that. You go ahead and show it. He doesn't have light colored eyes. He has Mamzer eyes. He has burnt cork eyes, and he has a white pallor of the skin. And it shows a picture of him, in front of a Japanese flag or something like that. It looks like some teenager from New Jersey or something like that here.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest with you, Mona, usually, when you're 17 or 18 years old and you have it on the internet, usually, I was in Herbert Armstrong's church when I was 17 or 18, long before there was an internet. And folks, I really did not want to go ahead and listen to any more Herbert's holy horse shit. I mean, when you're 17 or 18 years old, you don't really give a crap mainly for religious things. I mean, to get on the internet, usually.
That's very young, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, that's not normal behavior. Now, it's normal behavior, I mean, usually around 14, 15, 16, a little Jew boy in many cases, you've had on this internet thing where you have little Jew boys come in, and they want to be net Nazis. And, it's almost 100% of the time, if you see a character with an Adolf Hitler avatar or a neo-Nazi avatar or something like that with a Nazi avatar, Brian Wright goes by the name of Billy Wood. And what happens, he has a Rudolf Hess avatar. And essentially, what he is, he's a slant-eyed gook Mamzer here who has, he has Crohn's. So he's a part Jew. And I've never seen it fail here is that if it has an Adolf Hitler or a major Nazi avatar, it's a Jew. It's like a character named Ixenbert here. So you have these people show up, and they're actually Jews, and Commander McBragg here,
I mean, he's delusional just like Brian Real. They pretend to be white. They pretend they're great Teutonic Crusaders or whatever. And essentially, they're just, you know, they're just Mamzers. And they get all annoyed when you go ahead and find their real name. You go ahead and find out what they really look like, and they, you know, don't at all look white. And it's rather been a staple here is that, over on Nimbuster, you have this character, his name is Peter Goodman. And, and he was trolling the net here, and essentially, well, that's me, and that's a previous, incarnation. He has a New York City phone number. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he pretends that he's from Iceland. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's another character. He says he's from Sweden. And he might be from Sweden, but he's a Mamzer.
Right.
And, especially among little Jew boys or little Mamzer boys, little Mamzer tards, little Jew boys want to pretend to be white, they'll go ahead and think of, okay, what's the whitest country I can go ahead and pretend to be from? I know, Iceland! It only has 300,000, but, Mona, if there'd been the internet when I was 17, I would probably be looking at porno. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Not going to the Worldwide Church of God webpage, not going to Christian Identity. I mean, hey, I've been sitting on a folding steel chair for 8 years. I've had enough of this Christian Identity shit. That's just the way it was. That's just the way it was here.
But if you were a Jew that was 17 years old, you'd be zipping right into the Christian Identity.
That's my point, Mona.
That's right.
I mean, Icelander is a little cork-eyed bouncer. He's probably a Jew. Okay. He's a little Jew boy. He wants to go ahead and pretend to be this or pretend to be that. And what he does, he will go ahead and he will find these Icelander pictures and he will be playing, he'll be playing these from Iceland. And that's not normal behavior. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Eli James, think. They come up with, and what Keith will always ridicule is this papist preterism. I mean, essentially, all prophecy has been fulfilled, and essentially it's the Roman Catholic Church that put Satan in the pit for 1,000 years. Well, the Protestant belief, and certainly the Christian Identity belief, is that first you have a great tribulation, and it occurs from what, Revelation chapter 4 to, pretty well by chapter 18, you have an economic collapse where you have the merchants go ahead and, are crying that Babylon has fallen, this economic power has been destroyed. Chapter 19 is Jesus Christ's bloody return.
Right.
Chapter 20 is where the Archangel Michael grabs Satan and puts him in the pit for 1,000 years, and that's your millennium. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But Eli James, because he claims 800 to 1800 and Fink claims from 500 to 1500, well, essentially, Revelation chapter 20, you have to go ahead and, Fink claims to be a historicist. And, in some cases, it has been covered before, but essentially what happens is that since Fink is claiming to be a Greek historian, he's claiming to be a historicist, actually, he's calling himself as a preterist, he's calling himself a historicist, and that he's going ahead and understand this Greek history. And usually what he'll cover is he'll cover Herodotus, he'll go ahead and cover, these Greek historians, these Greek people from way back when here. But folks, the Greeks were a bunch of pagans until Paul came around. You know what I mean?
Well, they were pagans, but they were white.
They were white. I'm not, and what happens, some of what Fink says is absolutely correct. He's going ahead and covering about the Dorians and the rest of them. Mona, some of the Trojans on one side were descended from the minor tribe, I think of Ferez or Azera. Essentially, the Dardanelle was named after Darda. He was a Greek, but he was also descended from, he was supposed to be the wisest man next to Solomon. You know what I mean? And essentially, he was descended, you know, the Trojans were descended from the Israelites, and so were the Mycenaeans. You know what I mean? Who went ahead and went to war with the Trojans.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Around the year, you know, I'm not sure if Finkelstein will go ahead and cover it, around the year 1000 B.C., if you go ahead and read Geoffrey of Monmouth. And Pastor John Britton loves Geoffrey of Monmouth because Geoffrey of Monmouth, when he wrote his book in, what, 1140 or something like that.
Oh, this is a new historian. What's that name again? Geoffrey of Narnoff?
Geoffrey of Monmouth.
Okay.
I went ahead and knew quite a bit of it because I went ahead and wrote an unfinished novel about the very first Anglo-Saxons, Hengist and Horsa. And essentially, Geoffrey of Monmouth was, well, Henry II's court historian. Essentially, he was going ahead and pointing out about how the Saxons were bad people because they went ahead and conquered the native Britons, and they went ahead and they were justly displaced by the invading Normans.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Normans were, well, Norwegians. So you got to understand, most of my people, the Swedes, they went east because they were the most populous and they were most powerful. You know, of the people, so they got first pick, and essentially they chose Byzantium, and they founded Russia. Okay? The Danes and the Norwegians had to go ahead and settle for seconds, and, you know, mainly the Norwegians, and essentially they went ahead and raided France. And anyway, Geoffrey of Monmouth, so they invaded France, and they were called Normans, which was the French word for Northmen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, Pastor John Britton's family came over with William the Conqueror. In fact, sort of sponsored William the Conqueror. And well, pretty well. You know, most of Pastor John Britton's family went west to the British Isles, to Ireland, to Iceland. I already told you that the Icelanders were essentially these Norwegian criminals who were kicked out of Norway because they were too much, murderous maniacs. Leif Erikson's father, Erik the Red, he went ahead and killed a few men in Norway. He got kicked out of Norway. Then he went to Iceland. He didn't change his behavior, so he killed a few people in Iceland. He got banished from Iceland, so he had to go somewhere else, and he went to Greenland.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he was such a liar. He said, I went ahead and see how Iceland, people said Iceland is icy. Let's go ahead and call this place Greenland here. Get a whole bunch of people to go here. And, essentially, you're sort of like a real estate, you're sort of like the Donald Trump of his day. And essentially, from my gather, Erik the Red, was a pagan, heathen, psychotic killer.
Yeah.
And what happens is that his son Leif was a lot nicer behaved than his wife. Essentially, they converted to Christianity, and essentially, from what I gather, his wife wouldn't give old Erik any pussy once she turned into a Christian. So that didn't improve his temperament any, from what I gather. But essentially, these people from Iceland were Norwegians who went ahead and stole a bunch of Irish. The Irish, in order to get away from these damn Norwegians, went to, found Iceland, and they moved there, and then then the Norwegians chased them and followed them. And essentially, that's where you end up having a bunch of, you have a bunch of these Icelanders here. Now, of course, John Britton doesn't much care for the Irish. He calls them hybrid niggers. But, but anyway, my people, they'd go ahead and, I think I've told you several times is that there is a Martin Lindstedt, who about a dozen years younger than I am, who was born in Magdeburg back when it was part of the, East Germany. And essentially, some of the Swedes stayed behind after the 30 Years' War.
Uh-huh.
And, I went ahead and found out on the internet there's a Martin Lindstedt who's, a dozen years younger than me. So anyway, most of my people, most of my people pretty well stayed home in Sweden or, to Swedish Pomerania. And, some of them might have very well went west to Russia and formed Russia. But generally, Swedes and Russians do not get along very well because, we view these,
Russians as being sort of downbred. They'd gone native. They were going ahead and get some Polak pussy, you know, and essentially they got, you know, intermixed with these Mongols. But in any case, you know, but anyway, what I'm trying to say is that Fink, you know, Fink goes ahead and he will go ahead and read some of this stuff. It's quite accurate, but as far as actually understanding the Bible, as long as it doesn't interfere with whatever the hell he's trying to prove, there's no problem. But when he goes ahead and he comes up with, you know, revelations, he will yak, and, you know, Eli James agreed with him that, well, essentially the four horsemen of the apocalypse were Gaius Mara, you know, Felix Sulla, Julius Caesar, and Mark Anthony. And essentially that occurred, what, 100 some years, over 100 to 180 years before.
Oh, I get it.
You know, before it occurred, you know. I mean,
it's a magical, they, unlike me, I don't think that it's magical. I think it's a fractured history book like Hitler thought. But unlike me, what you just told me is that Fink does accept that it's a magical book of prophecy, but he thinks...
Well, it's not a magical book of prophecy. If it's already occurred, he says that, you know, he's going ahead and claim the absurd that John of Patmos in AD 69 wrote down what had occurred, you know, what? You know, Julius Caesar?
It already had occurred.
Julius Caesar was assassinated on March 15th, 44 B.C. So go ahead and add 69 and 44. You end up having, what, 113 years?
Yeah.
And the four horsemen of the apocalypse were Gaius Mara, who lived around 100 B.C. So in short, 169 years.
Fink thinks that John's vision was partly a history lesson.
Yeah, it was something that already happened. Well, why would John of Patmos write about something that occurred 180 to 113 years previously?
Because he wanted to use the past to prove what was going to happen in the future, which is that all hell was going to break loose if the Christians didn't get out of the region of Israel.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I guess you've been listening to Finkelstein more than I have.
No, it's not that. It's just that I kind of understand. I have, even before I met you or Fink, I had already been exposed to the idea that John was... had a vision, but that it wasn't applicable to 2,000 years hence. It was applicable to an immediate threat, and that it was valuable to get the Christians out of Israel before the Romans could totally conquer it, as they did to the Jews. They completely exterminated the Jews that hung back and stayed there.
Well, they didn't completely exterminate, you know. I mean, the written portion of the Talmud, you know, from the oral traditions of men that Jesus Christ fought against, essentially it was first written down after the Romans had gone ahead and conquered Jerusalem and the rest here. You have this Pharisee Edomite who, you know, I forget what his name was, I had it written down. You know, I have a paper called The Jews and Their Talmud that I went ahead and wrote for this world religions class.
Yeah.
And essentially what happens is that after Rome had gone ahead and destroyed, not Solomon's temple, but destroyed Herod the Great's temple, and this holy wall these Jews go ahead and pray at is actually Herod, you know, the Edomites, you know, Herod the Great Edomites, you know, little temple. And essentially these Jews are just nothing more than Canaanites and actual, well, they're not Semites, they're Canaanites. And anyway, they go ahead and they pray.
Yeah.
They're going ahead and knocking and they're praying to these people, you know. And they're going ahead and pretending to be something that they're not here.
Right.
And essentially what happens, for whatever reason, Fink goes ahead and makes a big deal about it. He's a great historian. And essentially he's making the book of Revelation not into a book of prophecy, he's making it into a book of history that only he can go ahead and understand.
That's what I think he does. And that's the answer to your question, which is why do I like him? It's because he thinks the Bible is the history book. And he's put in many years.
He's put in many years in prison here. I mean, to be honest with you, Herodotus was not a church father. You know what I mean?
No, none of the historians that I've been introduced to, I think, are church people. They're all historians, regular secular historians.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's interesting to me. When I started reading Tacitus, thanks to William Fink, and I was astonished to find out, for instance, mm-hmm. I found out something fascinating from Tacitus. After Augustus died,
mm-hmm.
A nice guy, came into power, and there was a fight between the young boys, the young men, the 30-year-old young men. And it says Tacitus just makes a little statement that the Jews were not liked by the Romans in that time, which would have been somewhere around probably 20 A.D., because their religion was dirty, vulgar, and superstitious.
Well, what they did is that the Jews, you know, and William Pierce went ahead and pointed out even before there was Christians, way back as early as 240, as 240 B.C., one of the consuls banned the Jews from in 240 B.C., this is over 200 years before Christ was born,
yeah.
You know, before there was any question about Christians or, you know, Christians and Jews fighting. Essentially, they were banned from Rome because he said, well, these Jews are just a bunch of thieves, and we don't need these thieves in the market. We don't need these thieves in the marketplace here.
Right.
And, essentially, nobody really liked Jews here, but by the time, Julius Caesar liked about everybody. What happens is that Augustus was out to go ahead, and Augustus only made a tenth of the people that Julius Caesar made citizens. You know what I mean? Augustus Caesar, his job, as he looked at it, was to go ahead and, since he'd gone ahead and killed so much of the late Republican nobility in these civil wars, his job was to go ahead and take Roman historians like Livia and Virgil and pretty well raise them up high, and pretty well, his job was consolidation. And he had to, between him and his wife, they pretty well killed about everybody, who pretty well opposed them. Octavian took care of all Caesar's killers, went ahead and hunted them down and killed them. Then he had a fight with Mark Antony and Cleopatra.
I
mean, he went ahead and essentially, so what he did is that he set up essentially to where he was the emperor. He didn't dare call himself the king because Julius Caesar was killed because people thought he was going to make himself a king.
Yeah, but Augustus did set him up as a god, himself up as a god, didn't he?
Well, after he died here, and he was sort of safe here, but essentially he set himself up as, quote, imperator. And the term imperator meant a general who was essentially, honored by his troops in the field. So that's where the term emperor comes from.
I see.
And essentially what happens is that he had to go ahead and work very, very, very clever. He couldn't go ahead and call himself an actual king because the Romans didn't like kings. They kicked out the kings 500 years previously.
Uh-huh.
And set up what was called a res publica, for the public, or what was called a republic.
That can't be the real reason that they killed Caesar. It can't be just because he called himself king.
Well, supposedly Mark Antony, went ahead and offered him the crown three times here. And, the ones who love Caesar, like Maury, Did you ever read The Thorn Birds? Remember the movie The Thorn Birds by, what was the name, Maureen McCormick or something?
I have certainly heard of it because it made a big splash. I never read it.
She went ahead and wrote a series of books about the civil wars of the late Republic. It was called The First Man of Rome. It came out around 1991, and then The Grass Crown, and then you had all that. And she was a Caesar lover. I mean, Caesar could do no wrong. Caesar was wonderful. But generally, the people who lived around the time of Caesar, especially Cicero, didn't much care for Caesar. They viewed him as a unprincipled,
right.
Unprincipled power seeker.
Right.
And in many cases, he was. And the good men tried to go ahead and control him. And essentially, that's why he ended up having a civil war. And these civil wars ruined, went ahead and killed the vast majority of the Roman nobility families with all these civil wars.
Right.
But anyway, what Fink does is he tries to go ahead and call himself a historicist, and, old Clifton Emmerheiser goes ahead, and when I started calling papist preterists way back in, when I was fighting with them in October and November, I call him, not only a preterist, I call him papist preterist, because Fink's notion was the Roman Catholic Church put Satan in the pit, and then he died, now that Satan is the Jews, and Hitler is the Archangel Michael, and all this other crazy shit here. And Eli James knows better than that, but, essentially both Fink and Eli James, I believe, are Jews who are, come in, and they both knew that Brian Real was a Mamzer. Didn't matter. I think Clifton Emmerheiser knew he was a Mamzer. Old Carolyn Yeager, what about a month or so ago? I called in Voice of Retards, and I said, do you know that, Fink went ahead and murdered a Puerto Rican prisoner in jail?
Yeah, she wouldn't let you insult him.
No, she said, Mr. Lindstedt,
Yeah.
I introduced myself as Pastor Linson. Mr. Lindstedt, you are not doing yourself any favors by going ahead and bringing this up. I'm going to have to cut you off. Click. And then, essentially they went ahead and entered that out here. Well, essentially what they do, just like all these tars, is they go ahead and whine about Jew censorship, and they practice it themselves in order to cover up for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And essentially, Carolyn Yeager, I mean, that sort of answered my question. Carolyn Yeager knew exactly who I was, and she knew exactly who Fink was and what he'd done. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She knew exactly what Fink had done here. Now, folks, I don't really care if he'd gone ahead and ran with a sawed-off shotgun, through the through the shitty streets of, Jersey City and been gunning down Puerto Ricans. But, I mean, what this past Monday, last Monday, here's Alan Truett, here's Eli James, and here's Morris Gillette, and here's Truett pretending he didn't know that Fink had killed this Puerto Rican prisoner. I hate pigs. These evil pigs, who want to go ahead and murder people, Fink is just out of that. And here's Angelo Macizo Truett pretending that he just learned recently. Ever since Fink went ahead and started making fun of him, he only learned it recently that Fink was a murderous pig. And that's a lie. I mean, shoot, I've been telling the Eli James, I've been telling, this is what Fink did. And, Truett knew all about Fink, but he only claims that he learned about Fink recently. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sure I do.
So, the point is, and,
believe Fink did that.
Well, if Fink didn't do that here, then how come he didn't go ahead and take it to trial?
Because he knew enough about the legal system to know that you better cop a plea, and you better cop a plea the first appearance, or they're not going to let you cop a plea.
No.
And he trusted.
No, no. Well, that's what he's going ahead and said. I mean, Fink is what, Fink.
No, I'm making that up. He never said that.
Okay, well, Fink, I went ahead when I first got in touch with Fink in 2009, so, you're in prison. What are you in prison for? Oh, what happens? I sort of got caught covering up here. I acceded to corruption here, and that's why I got sentenced for 25 years. I had to serve 12 and a half. Essentially, Fink just out and out lied to me.
Thinks lied to me, you know, out and out lied to me several times.
He didn't even mention that a murder was involved.
Well, no, well, he said that something, you know, well, it was a Puerto Rican child molester here, and he was getting all rambunctious here, and what happens, I covered up for, you know, what he's doing is he's pretending to be the guy who got 70 days and then went ahead and turned state's evidence here. See, what happens is that Fink was the main ringleader, and essentially the other one who went ahead, along with Fink, did nearly as much hitting and killing as Fink did, was this guy named Dumas. And what happens, Dumas decided he was going to go ahead and, you know, go to trial. He went to trial and he got 15 years. And what happens, Fink understood is that they were after him. They wanted to go ahead and bring him to trial, probably give him 30 years.
And
what
Fink, because Fink was the most guilty.
Well, Fink was the most guilty. He knew dang well that Judith, the guy who essentially just been convicted here, got 15 years, that essentially they were gunning for 30 years, so he went ahead and took a plea bargain. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And essentially he got 14 years, and he served 12 and a half. Okay?
Right.
So, I mean...
But there's another point I'd like to make. If I find out that he wasn't guilty, as you said, of beating up a guy who was in handcuffs, I would find that very reprehensible. But I would not. It would not affect my judgment of him as a scholar.
Well, I don't think he's that much of a scholar. I've caught him lying several times here. I mean, he went ahead, and when I first caught him, you know, with some paper spurs...
Well, I got to admit, Martin, you are one hell of a scholar yourself, and in my opinion, maybe better than he is. You guys blow me away, all of you. You're all Christian. These guys, you know, you and Southworth, all of you guys can run circles around me when it comes to history.
Okay. Well, I've been reading quite a bit. I've been reading quite a history. I mean, Fink, what happens is Fink was, you know, I have a very good idea how Fink became what he became. What happens, he's just another little Anglo mestizo. He goes ahead, and there's this woman named Lorraine Swift who's Wesley Swift's wife here. You know, with Mike Callimore, they go ahead and they start a prison ministry. And what happens is that here are these criminals with a lot of time on their hands.
Right.
You know, full well, I mean, Fink lies about how he wasn't locked up in that administrative segregation. I've heard him tell all sorts of stories about, how he was telling these niggers what to do, and they didn't know they killed anybody. Folks, if you're in a prison situation, at Nut House or wherever here, the very first thing, even more than crack cocaine or marijuana, is that they want to know what the new fish have gone ahead and done, what their crime is. Essentially, Fink going ahead and being an ex-pig who went ahead and murdered a Puerto Rican, Fink wouldn't last 15 minutes in general population. You know, damn well he was in that administrative segregation.
I would imagine so.
So what ended up happening is that here he is, he has plenty of time on his hands,
right.
And essentially what he does is that, just like with Brian Wright, you know, with Jeremy Visser, they decide to go ahead and, you know, find Christ. And, okay, you know, they go ahead and join this Aryan Brotherhood, you know, prison gang. And essentially, you know, the very beginning Aryan Brotherhood was of white men, but now it's just Anglo-Mestizos. You know, I mean, they got Mamzer eyes, and they're just some Mamzers, and essentially they go ahead and claim that they're political prisoners because they're being persecuted for the religion, and they go ahead and they go ahead and get a copy of the Kingdom Identity Ministries here from Lorraine Swift here. In the case of Brian Wright, he got ordained by the Texas Circle Aryan Brotherhood, and he made up a whole bunch of lies about how Morris Gillette insisted that all his ministers have an AIT correspondence course. And, you know, Pastor John Britton, when he called me at the Nut House, he was all mad because he wanted to send Gillette an AIT so that Gillette would learn something more about Christian identity while he's in prison.
Yeah.
And Gillette refused to go ahead and do it. So I knew that, you know, here's Brian Wright lying just like usual. And essentially what he did is that he went ahead, he made up to old Lorraine Swift here, and then later on, here's Jeremy Visser and here's Brian Wright claiming that not only is Pastor Richard Butler a Mamzer, so is Wesley Swift. And, you know, I mean, Visser, you idiot.
here you are claiming to be ordained through the line of Gillette, you know, through Wesley, Richard Butler, through Wesley Swift, and here you are calling Wesley Swift and Richard Butler a bunch of Mamzers. And, you know, here's Brian Wright. I mean, this is what a contemptible, you know, piece of shit that character was. He went ahead, and here he is, you know, sucking up to some woman who doesn't know him, goes ahead and gets a letter from her, and then he goes ahead and calls her husband or children a bunch of Mamzers. I mean, that's the sort of low criminal thing that, you know, that criminals do. I mean, I've been locked up with criminals for 3.5 years. Some of them are insane. Some of them are just criminals pretend to be insane. And whenever I see a criminal, I mean, they're just like wallpaper to me. I know exactly what the hell they're like here. And essentially, Visser, Brian Wright are just simply Mamzer criminals. They're just what they are, and they act the same way here, and they just think they're so clever when they lie to some white man. And essentially, I heard later, you know, from this Wigger who got butthurt by Fink. Well, Fink was laughing his head off at how he was fooling you with his form here. He went ahead and made it to where only you and John Britton and him could go ahead and see it. He thought it was funny. Ha, 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 ha. Well, yeah. Yeah, you boy, you thought it was real funny, you know? I mean, essentially lying to me. I mean, you thought you were real funny by lying to me, but the problem of it is that, shoot, once somebody's out and out lied to, they don't trust you anymore. And, essentially Fink is just a criminal who has a good deal, you know, thing, and essentially I believe that, you know, around year 10, you know, here comes the FBI, here comes the rest of them saying, well, hey, you got this prison thing here, you're going to go ahead, we're going to go ahead and set you up as in Christian Dandy. He goes ahead and meets Eli James, and says to Eli James.
He certainly would be an excellent role for them if he did all that Bible study in prison.
Well, he went ahead and supposedly made, you know, he went ahead and made his own translation. And he has a fit, or he used to have a fit, to where every single person who actually speaks Greek, much less writes it, just ridicules the crap out of his, quote, translation.
Uh-huh.
And, let me see. Think, this was in March of 2000, you know, this was March of this year. He has Mike Hallamore on, and Mike Hallamore refuses to, you know, write, you know, print anything of Fink's. And so does Artisan's publishers. I mean, he had to go through Hulu. Essentially, you know, Mike Hallamore and the rest of them who actually know something about Chris Sandini refused to have anything to do with Fink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
He also doesn't... one of the things I like about him is that he apparently... I'm convinced he comes from a family that is not cultured and educated, which means that he's done all this on his own. And the reason I think that is because he doesn't understand some of the laws of the English language, like a G and a C is soft before I and E, but like a S sound, but it's a K sound.
Well, you're talking about how he doesn't, you know, much less know how to speak Greek, and a lot of times he doesn't know how to speak English.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Well, I sort of think he's a little Hasidic. I think he's just a little Hasidic, student here. I mean, I used to drive a truck here, and occasionally I'd have to go to Jew Jersey. I'd have to go to Jew Jersey a couple times. I'd go, of all places, to the big asshole, you know, asshole here of New York City and Long Island. And, you know, you have a bunch of these Hasidic Jews who run around here. And essentially, you go ahead and talk to one of these half-fids here. I mean, essentially, they'll have a Bronx or Brooklyn or New Jersey accent, but they, their English. I mean, it's just like talking to somebody with a foreign accent here. These Hasidic Jews here.
But I understand what your point you're saying, but the point I'm making is for somebody who does not come from a cultured background, as do I. Thank God.
Okay.
He's made himself into quite a scholar.
Generally, I've gone ahead and listened to some of Fink's little. Usually, what Fink will do is he'll go ahead and fall with a bunch of people, a lot of wannabe Mamzers, and what he'll do is he'll go ahead and he'll
float a trial balloon, and since these people haven't stayed Herodotus, they haven't stayed Virgil, they haven't stayed all this other stuff, he'll go ahead and say something here, and somebody who goes ahead and understands it here knows that he's just going ahead and trying to...
But he's not making it up. I followed up on his leads, and he absolutely understands Tacitus.
Well, I read Tacitus myself here. I didn't read it.
Absolutely wonderful. I've never even met people that have the kind of education you have.
Well, it didn't come, I mean, I got a self-taught education here. I mean, in the case of Tacitus, his Germania and Britannia, his father-in-law, Agricola, was one of the main men in Britannia who did a lot of engineering projects in there. As far as Germania was concerned, on my unfinished novel here, when he went ahead and wrote it around 125 A.D., the Germans were still following the cult of this goddess named Nerthius.
Uh-huh.
And among the Swedes, it was a male god. And, Nerthius was a male god. And what they used to do is about every 7 or 9 years, they'd go ahead and have this priestess, and she'd be pregnant, knocked up by all these priests here, and she'd be drawn in a cart by these pregnant heifers to the sacred grove, and then she and the heifers would be sacrificed, and that was supposed to go ahead and make the, rains come or something like that here.
That's
so
terrible.
Back then, Mona, I mean, there were no feminists back then in AD 125. You know what I mean?
1,000 years. There hasn't been any genetic changes in 1,000 years. That's like saying
there's not been any genetic change, but there's been social change. You know, Mona. I mean, how long do you think you'd last? In 125 A.D. Germany.
Me, I wouldn't last 5 minutes if I left.
That's right. genetically, you're one of that. I mean, I've seen your pictures, Mona, back when you were cute and all that.
Yeah.
And, you look like a white woman. Sometimes I think you're pretty daffy, but, essentially, you probably wouldn't last. But then again, most Quakers, when you go ahead and you write a novel or a historical novel, you've got to understand that most people, I mean, what they do is essentially, romantic novels or bodice rippers, whatever, essentially what they're doing is they're taking 20th century or 21st century Whiggers and putting them, in what? 1000 B.C., 10,000 B.C., 125 A.D. And they don't understand is that people acted totally different than they do today. You understand what I'm saying?
Because of the harsh circumstances of their living?
Well, let's say the average life expectancy, during the time of the Romans was around, what, 33, 30 years old?
No, I don't think it could be that young.
But generally they figured that it was.
What?
Generally they figured out, I mean, even until, you know what the average life expectancy for a man in 1900 America was?
No, you tell me, please.
48 years old.
Okay, but that kind of makes sense because your body parts do start deteriorating at about 50, and because we have medicine where they piece us together.
That's right.
Right.
But see, you got to understand is that what happens is that there was very high infant mortality, okay?
Uh-huh.
So if you made it past childhood, if you went ahead and made it past childhood, essentially you had a fairly rugged immune system.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And chances are you would go ahead and live to a longer age. But then again, we're talking about an average.
Right.
Today the average, nigger, the average nigger is what? 28, 29 years old, 24, average one here. Life expectancy was lower.
Right. Well, I understand that.
Okay.
I agree with you.
Okay.
And of course they lived under horribly harsh circumstances. My own grandparents, my own great-grandparents, definitely, they didn't even have hot water.
Okay. Well, the Linsteads got electricity through REA in 1936. Okay? So, Harold Covington was doing a story about how essentially, a number of reality shows like, Montana Homesteader, 1880.
Uh-huh.
What happens is that it didn't even last the series because even though they chose some fairly healthy white people to go in and do it, essentially they weren't able to go ahead and make it, living in a sod hut, like they did in 1880. And they were pointing out that in England, they tried to go ahead and talk about how they lived in 1880, and folks, A bath once a week was a luxury.
Oh, absolutely.
And what happens is that they're wearing heavy woolens. They're wearing, essentially heavy woolens. They're wearing, pretty well the work was a whole lot harder back then. The life was a whole lot harder, and just like Victoria House, he said that in England, they didn't make an entire season, nor did they make it, which was take a modern American family and put them in the equivalent of 1880s Montana. They didn't have an entire series last that long either.
Of course not.
All right. Anyway, Mona, I'm going to go ahead and I've probably been yakking. We've been yakking for an hour and 7 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll go ahead and be back in just a few minutes here. Hail Victory.
Whatever you say, say nothing. When you talk about you know what.
You'll get They'll take you off to you know where, but you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sick, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. And whatever you say, say another song. And enough about you know what. But if you know who's sick, hey, you know what they'll get. They'll take you off, you know where, but you wouldn't know how long. So for you know who's sick, don't let anyone hear you singing this song. For you know who's sick, don't let anyone hear you singing this song.
That little 17-year-old can listen to that.
Well, I mean,
it would help.
Well, I went ahead, you know, especially for those who, you know, on the recording, I went ahead and I got a message from, you know, this young man, you know, 17 or 18 years old. His mother doesn't want him hanging around low company like us neo-Nazis or white supremacists or Christian identity maniacs or anything like that. And I was explaining to him, don't piss off your mother. You know what I mean? And don't piss off your dad either.
Right.
I mean, you know, folks, I mean, you know, there's a commandment. There's a commandment. It's called honor your father and mother. And sometimes it's hard to do so.
Your days may be long. It's
your days may be long. I mean, essentially,
it has a promise attached to it.
Yeah. They don't want to, go ahead and give a hard time. You know, don't give a hard time to your parents, okay? Get along with your parents so that your days may be long.
If you can get along with your parents, you can get along with anybody.
Well, I mean, you know, my mother, I mean, you know, she ain't too smart. I mean, you know, and you realize, you know, you end up realizing you're, well, when you're that age here, there's a second problem. When you're in your late teens here, you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, you think mommy and daddy are such fucking idiots, okay?
And you think you're so much
smarter. You're so much smarter. What happens is that they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what the heck they're doing. And, folks, it looks like I end up having, I'm going to have to go ahead and, quote, block the gas. Thank you, number 36. You know what I mean? Thank you, number 36. I really appreciate your stupid shit, okay? So, anyway, it's going to take a little while.
Yeah.
But, essentially, we end up having, you know, I mean, you end up having the same old nimbuster tard that goes ahead and screws up stuff here. And, folks, that's, you know, that's the bad part about having nimbusters know, you know, where you are at, where you're at here. But anyway, Mona, what I was trying to go explain is that Fink, in many cases, don't know what he's talking about, or he goes ahead and makes up stuff, and then he expects, you know, I mean, the people who are there, they're Mamzers, or they're Jews, or they're wannabes, and essentially, they want to go ahead and they ratify Fink's behavior because they want to go ahead and ratify their own. You understand what I mean?
Well, sure. You think he's drawing a low crowd that's even lower than he is?
Well, I don't know about lower than he is. They're a crowd that wants to go ahead and pretend to be Christianity. That's why I call it talks to, you know, Wikipedia talks to Christianity. They don't understand anything about how to behave because they're not white. You know,
right.
They're not white to begin with.
Right.
And then if you go ahead and you question that. Now, I've been around a lot of, you know, some actual Christianity, although they were with Herbert Armstrong, and I have seen that a lot of them are, you know, are sheep. They go ahead and put up with pastoral abuse. They love it. You know, my dad, for example, he went ahead and pissed off the ministers because they were coming out to his house. They wanted to go ahead and get into the house and look at my mother's housekeeping.
Oh.
And essentially, my mother was a piss-poor housekeeper.
Nothing just happened to talk shoe.
What happened to talk shoe? Did I go ahead and lose?
I'm going to have to join in again, I guess. Oh, here. No, everything's fine. I guess I was wrong.
Yeah, well, what happens, I end up having to block, you know, block the guests here because of number 36's ass clownery.
I don't know. So, yeah, I am screwed up. I'm going to have to maybe get out and get back in. I'm going to do it.
Well, what happens is that's probably what I'm going to have to do, too, here.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, anyway, he went ahead and screwed up Toshiba number one, Toshiba number two.
Who did?
Oh, number 36.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay, okay.
So, in any case, you know, I don't know if any of these, you know.
Oh, he's still at it.
Well, I'm going ahead and looking. It's going to be a while. It's going to be a little while here before it, you know, before it goes ahead and does it here. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and just knock off the chat here. I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, enter again as Dick Weltney here in a minute.
Okay.
But in any case, let me see. Stop script. So anyway, you have these people, and their behavior is such that if they went ahead and did it face to face, they'd go ahead and get their asses whipped, you know, the first time. You know what I mean? But I've been with real Christian identity, you know, men here, my dad, in some cases, you know. But on the other hand, you have some of these people, they go ahead and accept pastoral abuse here. For example, I remember one time when, here comes the local minister, and, you know, of Herbert Armstrong's church, and his little preaching elder, sidekick, direct from, you know, Ambassador College, and essentially, here is the dog, the German Shepherd, and my dad won't call the dog off, he won't tie up the dog, he won't let him get out of the house, and they're scared of getting bit. And they say, well, we want to go ahead and inspect your wife's housekeeping. And my dad said, well, you know, I'm the one who makes that determination as to whether or not it's adequate. You don't.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And essentially, my mother was a piss-poor housekeeper. You know what I mean? But my dad figured out, I mean, hell, you know, she's his woman. Not the minister's, not the preaching elder's, not Herbert's.
That's right.
I mean, essentially, if he doesn't mind the housekeeping, where do they come off getting around to go? And essentially, if he goes ahead and he allows them to go ahead and criticize his wife,
right?
Then what sort of husband is he?
Then he humiliates her.
Well, yes, but he also allows them to humiliate him. You know what I mean?
That's right too. Yeah.
Yeah. And see, the thing about it is that men, you know, I mean, we'll say April Gady. She goes ahead, and I've heard she's threatened me with an ass whipping at the paws of her latest little meerkat. And then some of these people are wondering why I'm not scared of April Gady. Well, I'm not scared of April Gady because, hey, you're such a domineering cunt here that essentially your little meerkat will go ahead and, you know, he might lick your trot and say, yes, April, no, April, three bags full, April. But a character, a quasi-man who will go ahead and allow you to run over him like that isn't much of a threat to other, you know, to real white men. You know what I mean?
Why in the world could she find anything about you to make her upset enough to make it upset?
Well, I've gone ahead, I mean, you know, I've ridiculed. Well, what happens is I got kicked off of Four Fags Feeds. I get kicked off of Sperm Front. One of my sock puppets got kicked off because I went ahead and, went ahead and stuck up, you know, for Harold Covington. Not so much for Harold Covington. I went ahead and, you know, stuck up for, you know, why do you need to go ahead and censor? You know, I mean, if you're for Pioneer Little Europe, if you're for this stuff, why do you need to go ahead and censor anybody? You know what I mean?
Right. So why was she offended by that?
Oh, she was offended, yeah.
Oh, dear.
And essentially, her and Hattie got me kicked off the Sperm Front. Hattie got me kicked off Four Fags Feeds. And essentially, here you have these people, and they insist that look, April, you don't give a crap about the white race. All you give a crap about is pretending to be, you know, all together, for, you know, yeah, I mean, you're going ahead and, you know, pretend that you stand for the 14 words. We must secure the existence of our people and a future for white children. I mean, how does going ahead and, you know, censoring Harold Covington for essentially going ahead with his Northwest imperative as opposed to your Kalispell pioneer Little Europe? I mean, if, you know, Harold Covington is bringing people to the Northwest here, why doesn't that go ahead and help your pioneer Little Europe? And the answer of it is that, well, they're following Harold Covington, they're not following me. And that's why she doesn't like Harold Covington. And, you know, no.
Follower. She's kind of a follower.
She wants followers, you know what I mean?
She may, but she also is not a very strong character. And so she may be currying the favor of a certain in-group that she's willing to cooperate with.
Well, that's pretty well what I think she's doing. I mean, essentially what she's doing is that she is determined to go ahead and, you know, essentially what she's determined to do is to go ahead and, you know, have her way regardless of whether or not it's good for everybody, you know, for everybody else here. I mean, essentially what happens is that in many cases she's no different than, say, Mitt Romney or Newt Gingrich. It's not about serving, you know, white people or saving white people. It's about serving yourself. You know what I mean?
I don't see how she's serving herself by causing trouble.
She isn't really when it comes down to it, because, hey, there's a lot of people who know all about April Gade here, so I've gone ahead and ridiculed the crap out of her and her pretensions.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, you know, look, April, don't give me this crap here. And I mean, there's these people who go ahead and they want to worship, Dr. William Pierce.
Yeah.
And I go ahead and say, look, Pierce got $400,000 from the order, and everybody who knows that he got the money, and the FBI knows that he got the money. So essentially he ran nothing more than what I call a Elohim city for creators. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, Pierce.
Dead.
I mean, Pierce was, you know, Pierce was compromised.
Yeah.
So since he was compromised, why are you going ahead and worshiping somebody who probably was reporting everything which ended up happening on, you know, happening there? See, I got an invitation to Elohim City on July 6th of 1996.
Okay.
And essentially, everybody knew dang well that, you know, that Moir was snitching to the FBI. And you have these people going ahead and making big things, especially Red Mike Vanderkuyk, about Andrea Strassmeyer and all these other people.
Yeah.
Well, folks, why were these people going ahead and reporting to the FBI? And the answer, the reason they were, is that they didn't want to be murdered, you know, just like David Koresh was. It wasn't because, you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, that's very bad.
Well, I mean, you know, here it had been, you know, I mean, all these people come up with these conspiracy theories about Elohim City or something like that. I mean, folks, everybody knew that Millar, I mean, you know, was a snitch. Everybody knew full well that his son-in-law, Elston, you know, went ahead and snitched on other people at, the Fort Smith sedition trial. So they knew all about. They knew all about Millar.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
They knew all about Millar.
So you're saying, and I find this very interesting, that William Pierce was rescuing his mangy white ass by cooperating
with the feds, and that's why Covington got all this crap here. And you have Wiggersquill.
Yeah.
You have Wiggersquill. Essentially, he's bragging about how he, for a number of years, you know, he ain't bragging too much anymore because Covington said that he, no longer. Does he have to pay anything to Wiggersquill because it was a bogus judgment, okay?
Yeah.
But essentially what happens is that, you know, you have these people, essentially, old Whiggersquill, you know, I mean, I was listening to him on Jim Giles, and essentially, he went ahead and threatened to kill Harold Covington, and this, you know, this crooked judge goes, oh, don't kill Harold Covington, and goes ahead and grants him $100,000 judgment. And Whiggersquill's never been able to say, well, how did Harold Covington do $100,000 worth to your reputation? And Whiggersquill says, he said I was John Doe number three. Well, okay, let's say Covington did say that. Does anybody really believe that, you know, that Will Williams was John Doe number three? And the answer is, I don't. It's possible, but I doubt it. I mean, you know, I think Whiggersquill is just a, you know, cowardly chicken shit. You know, I've met Trader Glenn Miller twice.
Yeah.
You know, Trader Glenn Miller is cowardly chicken shit. I mean, all these people, you know, Hadding, he goes ahead and he was on Counter Currents talking about the wonderfulness of truth, about how we can't go ahead and lie, you know, because the Jews cannot lie us. Well, that's true.
But Hadding,
let me ask you a question. How is truth advanced by you going ahead and censoring, you know, me on Four Fag Seeds or, you know, me on Stormfront?
It's astonishing that Hadding did that.
Yeah, astonishing.
Well, yes, it is. It's totally against what he claims to
be. No, it's totally against what he claims to be, but it's not astonishing.
Yeah, it is, because I like Hadding, too.
Well, I'm sure you like Hadding, but essentially Hadding acts different than what he claims to do here. Let's say there is a difference between what Hadding claims.
Wait, maybe he got excited about a relationship with April Gady. That could have happened. And maybe it was...
Nah, he's from Florida or something like that here. April, she sort of got, you know, I mean, you know, her little meerkats might want to hump her, but, you know, nobody else does. You know what I mean?
But Hadding is a lonely intellectual, and he might.
Well, I don't know. I mean, shoot, it's sort of like this joke here about these lonely intellectuals here, and somebody goes and explains to them, and they says, well, you know there's prostitutes.
No,
and,
no.
And then, you know, I remember this one movie here, it was a sort of a smut flick here. He says, well, the prostitute said that wasn't an option. You know what I mean? You know, I've never had a prostitute turn me down. You know,
I'm just saying, I'm actually asking you, do you think there was some kind of a mutual attraction between Hadding and April?
No.
It would be.
There might be. I don't know here. I mean, I don't know if you heard the April Gady song here. I went ahead and essentially, you know, told everybody about April being a big slut here. And essentially,
That's your view of a woman who's free, white, and 21.
Well, I mean, she was rather free and she was rather white. See, supposedly... You know, what happens is that supposedly there's a big story about how old April Gady says old Whiggersquill has a small organ here. And then old Whiggersquill said that, well, he may have had a small organ, but he didn't have to expect to play in such a great big cathedral. And so, what happens, she had a big old fight last year. Her and Corncob had a big old fight with Carl Garst. He was a Christian Identity character. I'm not sure, you know, I've never met Carl Garst, but he went ahead and responded, you know, about what was going on. He thinks April Gady is an ADL plant. He thinks Edgar Steele is an ADL plant.
Oh, I don't think he's one of them are ADL. ADL, I don't think.
FBI ADL plant here. So, anyway, well, there's a lot of people thought Edgar Steele was, you know, a little... You know, he was a little Zogbot because they didn't like the way he went ahead and, you know, defended, you know, Pastor Butler. Of course, there's people like me who sort of thought that Butler was screwed from day one anyway. And, you know, I mean, you know, the only one who could maybe save them is Jerry Spence. You know what I mean?
Oh, nobody could have saved him.
Well, I think so, here.
Because it was true, was it not, that some of his followers shot at black people from his property.
Okay. Oh, by the way, this kid's asking, what did I say? And essentially what I said, you know, Mass 48, since you're here. You know, folks, I mean, Mass, don't worry about having to unfriend me on Facebook, you know, on Fedbook. I mean, folks, if you're living with your... What do you need there? Okay, in a minute here. Anyway, Roxy wanted me to go ahead and take care of her here in a minute.
Well,
essentially, Mass 1488, I mean, essentially what I urge you to do, if you live with your parents, essentially you sort of have to follow your parents' rules.
Right.
If they go ahead, I mean, most mothers are not impressed with their little baby boys hanging out with a bad crowd. And generally, you know, if you're a, quote, neo-Nazi, if you're a, quote, white supremacist, if you're a Christian identity maniac, you are, by definition, a bad crowd. I don't care who you are. I mean, you know, unless, of course, maybe you're living in a single wide in Alabama here, in which case you're still probably, you know, you're still probably not deemed good people to be around. You know, and if you live it back east here, that's even more the case here. So, you know,
Martin, let's wrap it up because I'm getting kind of
tired. All right. Well, I guess you are here. Anyway, I was talking about old Mass 1488. But in any case, with Fink, I mean, I don't think Fink is that great a scholar. I think he's altogether a Zogbot who's been sent, you know, to go ahead and infiltrate Christian identity. He's gotten in through essentially the prison ministry, you know, bunch, which has gone ahead and brought a lot of, you know, brought a lot of criminals,
yeah,
into Christian identity. And, you know, I mean, I remember when people started learning about this sort of thing, it came in this 1995 book, Soldiers of God.
Oh.
And essentially they're talking about, well, how everything in Christian identity is in this Kingdom Identity Ministries AIT book here. And that's not exactly the case, although it is, you know, it does cover quite a bit of it. But you will end up having a bunch of Mamsers, you'll have a bunch of other characters, and they go ahead and read what it says, but they don't understand it in their heart and in their soul, because they're not white. They don't understand how to behave.
Right.
I mean, running around, you go ahead and go around a man by going ahead and talking to his woman, essentially, you go ahead and try to get around a man by going ahead and going through, well, essentially, as we look at going through his pussy here, essentially, the woman, you know, if she's a real, you know, if she's a real helpmeet to that man, won't allow that to happen. But if you go, you know, in case of Lorraine Swift, Wesley Swift has been dead. But essentially, you know, this Brian Wright, by going ahead and going through, Wesley Swift's wife, Lorraine, and then go ahead and, you know, tell her, oh, no, Lorraine Swift, I have a personal correspondence with Wesley Swift, Lorraine Swift, and then go ahead and send their husband, and therefore, by extension, her children were Mamsers. I mean, that's a tacky, evil, low-down thing to do.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? And you don't go ahead and go around, you don't go around any man, you know, in Christian identity by going ahead and trying to get to him through his family or his wife or anything like that, because essentially, as far as we're concerned, that's a Jew thing to do. That's what Satan did with Eve, and essentially, you know, I mean, you know, he got around Adam by going through Eve.
That's right.
And well, essentially, that's, you know, you go ahead and do that here. You might as well say, I'm a Jew, or I'm a no good piece of shit here who needs to go ahead and be gelded or skinned or whatever.
Right.
And people don't like that sort of thing. But, you know, Fink hasn't done that, but, you know, Fink's behavior is no mystery to me. And so the thing about it is that I have no doubt that Clifton Emhiser, just like, you know, Carolyn Yeager, knows all about Fink. And because, well, essentially she went ahead and just censored me or cut me off.
Right.
And essentially here's Angelo Mestizo Truitt. He's a long-term criminal of 25 years in Texas prison. And essentially, here he's pretending that he didn't know Fink was a criminal until, you know, after Fink went ahead and fought with him. No. I mean, you know, folks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, shoot. I mean, you knew full well, and if you didn't know full well, you had plenty of opportunity to know full well, because I've not been bashful in telling about Frank's past criminal history. So, anyway, I'll let you go, Mona. I mean,
Thank you, but I want to tell you how much I always enjoy talking to you.
Okay.
And give my love to Roxy, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Okay, well, yeah, Mona, it's only been about an hour and a half, so I guess it's within reason. And Mona, I don't begrudge you going ahead and, you know, unlike Finkelshiny, I don't begrudge you being on the Finkelshiny show or talking to Fink. I mean, it don't really matter that much here. I mean, you know, if you want to go ahead and have some religious entertainment or something like that, it's really no big problem to me.
But because Keith Southworth is very upset with me, and he's constantly trying to save me from damnation to make me give up all my ideas.
Well, that's Keith. That's not me.
That's Keith, right. So the show tomorrow, is it going to be on with between you and Keith?
Yeah, what happens is that Keith ain't quite sure how he managed to run it last week here. He's saying he's having trouble getting on because I've given, you know, he knows the username, he knows the password, but he thinks he's being followed or something like that. And I said, well, Keith, last week, we both were trying to be Keith Southworth. He kept on kicking me off as Keith Southworth. So I went ahead and logged off as Keith Southworth, and you went ahead and just, you know, did the show just fine. No problem.
Well, and I know he told me he's computer challenged, so.
Well, yeah, I guess he is, but essentially he did log on. He did go ahead and run his show as Keith Southworth last week here. So essentially, if he doesn't, if I have to go ahead and do it for him this week, I'll go ahead and do it for him this week. If I don't, you know, if I can go ahead and walk him on through, heck, he can go ahead and run it for himself this coming week. You know, tomorrow. So tomorrow it's 9:15. 9:15 Eastern time, so that'll be what? Oh, 6:15 your time here.
Yeah.
And essentially, I had a number of complaints that they couldn't get on because, you know, if it was 8:15 Eastern, 7:15 our time, it was 5:15, and there's some people who have to work for a living, and essentially they didn't have time enough to go ahead and get on the show. So anyway, it's going to be tomorrow by church government, and Mona, if you want, well, beyond, by all means, pretty well everybody's invited, including Pisser Possums and the rest here. And, folks, y'all have a good one here. So I'll talk to you later, okay, Mona?
Wonderful talking to you, Mark.
All right. Well, hail victory. And I'm going to go ahead and take a break here.
Bye.
So, all right, bye-bye. Anyway, I'm going to have to go ahead and take care of Roxy here. She has her own needs here. So we'll go ahead and be back in about 15 minutes. Hail victory, folks.
There was some dork named Hal who thought the Fibbies were his pal. So he went ahead and made a deal to fit. But he threatened judges three, a jury slapped old Hal's pee-pee. So Hal's gonna be my dick's wigger bitch. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's commands, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. Long ago, a rat named Glenn read his comrades over and again. But Zog gave him a bag full of Zog bucks. A little Guido loves diggin' fox, stitches, tickles, and cocksucks. The colostomy bag's name is VMM. Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. If you don't obey the dirty Jew's command, Zog will fuck you up. Yeah, Zog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebellin' while you can. I used to know a boss named Visser, a Duke Mississippi little pisser, who was going ass to mouth with Lion Ride. A bum, that nigger and East Molester, a pisser, pooper, possum, chester, not a single one of them was very bright. Dog will fuck you up. Yeah, dog will fuck you up if you don't obey the dirty juice command. Dog will fuck you up. Yeah, dog will fuck you up. So you best be a rebeller while you can.
Okay, folks, we're in the, I think, the last section of the movement third. Folks, you have to be careful, especially if you're young. And that's why that's the problem I have with Gullet, or Mo Gullet, as I call him. Essentially, what happens, he likes running around in uniform. He likes to pretend to be Aryan Nations, even though he got kicked out of the Aryan Nations by Ray Redfern and not allowed to come back in by Pastor Richard Butler because he's a total criminal screw-up. Gullet's never had a problem with bringing in Mamzers or Jews into Christian identity. Right now he's hanging around with a Jew, a.k.a. Eli James, and you have Anglo Mestizo Truitt, a Mamzer, a criminal Mamzer, essentially all butthurt because old Finkelschini went ahead and gave him a choice and gave Mo Gullet a choice, and they're still bitching and pissing and moaning about Eli James. As if, well, Eli James fooled them here and he lied to them. The answer of it is that, well, hey, Fink knew exactly what Eli James was. Eli James knew exactly what Brian Real and Fink was. Essentially, all this is just a fight between Jew boys. It's just a fight between Mamzers. But what I'm trying to go ahead and explain to people is that you don't need to go ahead and get yourself in trouble when you're young and you have the rest of your life ahead of you. Folks, I think it's, Jesus Christ said he would put a man at variance with his father and a daughter at variance with her mother. But on the other hand, right now, must it be that you must go ahead and fight with your father and must fight with your mother? And the answer is no, it isn't. It doesn't have to be that way. There's no need to go ahead and get into mischief here. And when someone's talking about college, now folks, I think college is altogether a waste of time and money unless you have something, you have something in mind like an engineering degree, like a science degree, or something to where you need a piece of paper, where you absolutely need to have that piece of paper. As far as a degree in liberal arts, as far as a degree in history or political science or something like that, total waste of time. Total waste of time and money. Okay? So, in any case, okay. Well, I mean, Frank Wicker said what the word Mamzer is here, and, okay. So, let me see, is Martin going to fill the asparagus jar? Well, Martin's filled a number of them, okay, but it's raining outside. Okay, Amass 1488, why did he use a Tech 9? I think he used a Tech 9 when he needed to go ahead and pump out a lot of lead, that didn't have to be aimed, okay? So, so I don't know anything really about Scientology, okay? And folks, one thing I like about the Scientology people is that they hate psychiatrists. When I was locked up in Nut House, about the only, really understanding I got was from these Scientologists who understood that essentially psychiatry is just a means of going ahead and throwing people in jail or prison or a nut house because they claim they're insane here. It's sort of like what happened, you know, what happened to me is the same sort of thing that happened to poor old dead James von Brunn. They went ahead and sent him to a nut house and murdered him there. He wasn't scared of a trial. You know, same thing as old Breivik, the guy who went ahead and killed all these here little, you know, these little race traitors and these nignogs in Norway. What happens, he's not at all, you know, Breivik isn't at all sorry for what he's done. Now, in my case, I didn't do anything. I got, you know, sent there on bogus, trumped-up child molestation charges. But, folks, I'm not... Essentially, I hate Zog. I have no use for regime criminals. I think that they and their spawn need to die. And as a result, anybody who sides with Zog, who goes ahead and finds people guilty because of Zog lies or because of pig lies, they need to die too. So anyway, what a system does with people who won't go ahead and pretend that their court trial, their bogus court trial, has any relevance, has any real, you know, reality, like Breivik. He's not sorry one bit that he went ahead and shot these little race traitors and these little, you know, liberal, you know, little youth camps here and these little nignogs there. He's not ashamed at all. He's not scared of a trial. So as a result, they went ahead and declared him insane. And when you're, quote, insane, that means that essentially you can't have a trial. Essentially, you're being imprisoned, but without a trial, because they're claiming you're insane. And they're too scared, and the system is too scared and too chicken shit to go ahead and listen to what you have to say. Now, I've seen some people who are nuts. You know what I mean? Totally nuts. And I'll agree that, you know, there are some people who are, quote, insane. All right? But, you know, getting on with it, you have all these people not knowing how to behave or anything like that here. So anyway, London and the other people need a, you know, a Breivik or whatever. So where was I? Yeah, these people, they don't know how to behave. They don't know how to act. And so they do what they do. Okay? Well, looks like, you know, looks like the young kid went ahead and left. I hope he went ahead and heard what I had to say. And essentially what I have to say is that, you know, folks, when you're young and you still rely on your parents to take care of you, it's usually a good thing to go ahead and do as your parents want you to do. Okay? Your parents, since, you know, you're their children here, don't want you to go ahead and, as they look at, ruin your life with association with people who essentially are not loved or liked or appreciated or, you know, pretty well despised. You need to go ahead and, in many cases, do listen to what your parents want here. So I don't have a problem with being, quote, unfriended or anything like that, you know. Essentially, I don't know if, you know, how much you're, you know, today it's far more politically correct. You know, in some cases, your parents might prefer you to be a homosexual rather than a Nazi. You know what I mean? So in many cases, you know, by going ahead and showing a little bit of respect for your parents' wishes here, by not rubbing their nose in an association they don't like here, at least you go ahead and tell your parents that, yes, you understand what they're, you know, what they're saying, and that you will be discreet in your, well, in your associations, okay? So, where was I? Anyway, I'm going ahead and look at this other, you know, thing here. My posting career .com here. Alrighty. Alrighty. Well, I went ahead and clicked on a link. Okay. Seeds you gold. Anyway. Alright. Well, where was I?
it looks like pretty well a lot of people have gone ahead and, you know, headed out here. Folks, Fink, you know, I mean, Fink is a real scholar. And what happens, I had Mona admit that in some cases he, well, I guess she thinks I'm a better scholar than Fink here. Folks, I've read a lot of, you know, I've read a lot of history. I've not read it in, quote, Greek. In many cases, if it's of any great value, it'll be translated in many cases. I've gone ahead and read quite a few of the classics. And I've gone ahead and I've seen Fink going ahead and making stuff up. And because the people who are around there, you know, they're like ice squealing, ice mams or whatever here, they're phonies or frauds. They're not in any position to go ahead and criticize Fink's efforts. But folks, I do understand, and especially mostly why I go ahead and concentrate is on Fink's and Eli James's trying to go in and pervert Christian identity, trying to change Christian identity. Because, you know, folks, I was raised up in a Christian identity household for 10 years. Now, I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I did go ahead and learn certain things here. Like, for example, I learned who Simon Magus was. Fink doesn't know who Simon Magus was. Now, if you were raised in the Worldwide Church of God or raised in Wesley Swiss Church, you'd know who Simon Magus was. And for those who don't know who Simon Magus was, Christian identity holds that he was the very first pope who was mentioned in Acts, who was a magician, an evil magician, who tried to buy some of the Holy Spirit. He was a little Chaldean, you know, and possibly a Jew, who essentially Peter and Paul had to get down on, you know, because said, hey, you're going to die, you know, you're going to go ahead and die, and your money's going to die with you. And, you know, there are other stories, but essentially Simon Magus became, you know, he impersonated Simon Peter and became the very first pope of the Roman Catholic Church, the Babylonian mystery religion. Folks, roots of this Babylonian mystery religion reach back even before Nimrod came along, reached to Cain. What happens, remember, when Eve said that I'm going to call him Cain because I've got a man of the Lord? She thought Cain was the Messiah. She thought Cain was the one who was going to go ahead and save her from, you know, the results of her screwing up and screwing Satan. Instead, Cain was the results of her screwing Satan, okay? Well, to say, you know, in Genesis chapter 4, and folks, you know, Christian identity holds that Satan was the father of Cain, and Cain was the father of the Jews. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. She thought Cain was this man. She thought Cain was this Messiah. How soon she would be forgiven. Well, didn't turn out that. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Okay? Now, Genesis chapter 5 has the book of the generations of Adam, the children of Adam. Guess what? Genesis chapter 4 has the generations of Cain. Cain was not Adam's son. Okay? Not at all. Folks, and that's what dual seed line Christian identity holds, is that there's two seed lines. A good seed line, you know, the sons of Adam. And, you know, it isn't through Abel, because Abel was murdered by the son of the evil one, Cain. And, oh, by the way, I was going to talk about Nimrod. You know, we talked about Nimrod, last week. Essentially, Nimrod is a Finnish Jew. He hates dual seed line. He's been talking against dual seed line ever since that spot of Satan, that Finnish Jew, crawled in. And guess what? Nimrod is one of old Eli or James' buddies.
pretty well mentioned on Eli James' website. Okay? So, anyway, well, his spree, you know, I mean, folks, I have no idea what Breivik's spree was about, okay? So, where am I here? Folks, you have these people, they come in, and you have these people who go ahead and follow Fink. And the reason they follow Fink, the reason they believe Fink, the reason they, you know, essentially worship Fink is that because, well, they want to go ahead and belong, and they want to pretend to be in Christianity, but they don't belong in Christianity because they're not of the people. They're not of the race, and they don't know how to behave. They neither know how to behave because the law of Yahweh is not written on their heart. And they don't know how to behave because they have a competing code of ethics here, to where they don't have a problem with lying. They don't have a problem with cheating or sneaking or anything like that here. Don't have a problem with that. Just like these people are coming in. Marty Chomo. Marty is a short eyes. Marty, you know, Marty is a mamzer. Brian Real is white. Folks, white people believe what their eyes tell them. They can go ahead and look at me and see that I'm, you know, white. They can go ahead and see Brian Real, and, you know, pretty well everyone knows that Brian Real isn't white. That's why he had a fit about people showing his picture. Brian Real isn't white. Brian Real's never been white. Brian Real will never be white. And Eli James knew who Brian Real was and what he looked like. William Fink knew what Brian Real was and what he looked like. Now there's a fight between two Jews, Eli James and Finkelschini. Folks, these people, the reason they censor, Eli James censors when he has to, when he feels he has to. Fink censors, well, for no good reason, whenever he wants to. He always wants to. He can't stand to have free discourse and free, you know, free dialogue. Okay? So anyway, yeah, it looks like it's just Frankenwigger and Siegfried, and it looks like my Toshiba number 2 has gone ahead and died as a result of the foolishness of guest number 36. So folks, I think I'm going to go ahead and call it quits for the chat for the night. And, well, I think that's about it. So I'm going to go ahead and say hail victory. You know, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh-ho, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corn hat logs let red blood flow. When Adam delved and Eve defend, Kyrie-lay-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lay-i. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On Sogling neck we stomp our boots to stamp out God's soul. Wise men go, we vote ho, on the 50 route, let the red cock grow. Wise men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. The regime must only love its great hi-yi-yo-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the 50 roots, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause of right, hi-yi-yo-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-yo-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the 50 roots, let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns, let red blood flow.